There are probably five other games sitting on my desk right now that I got for $5 at Walmart that I will never ever play. Painkiller.
What is going through your head? And you're like,
five fucking dollars. I'm all over this. I gotta get.
I don't
that.
Understand. Like, it's like $5 to take up shelf space. Like, is that what's going through your head? Like,
I'm just filling out the collection, man. I mean,
you're trying to get every PC game every
ever. It's bad because I keep buying games that I already own too. I already have a 360. Maybe I'll play it on the PC sometime for $5. I may as well.
And why not?
Yeah, you
might as well pay $5 just to say I have it on PC.
Yeah. I actually felt embarrassed, and then I took everything out of shrink wrap to make it look like I actually played the game. It's
hello and welcome to episode 124 of Interactive Distractions Podcast. I am Jeff Chorney, and sadly, but not so sadly, Chris Riccio is obviously not hosting the show because he is possibly having a baby right now, or may have already had a baby by the time you guys have listened to this, so congratulations to him. And with me right here, we have the Travis, I drop a sexy Jupiter jukebox thing, Drops of Jupiter, sorry, there we go, song at MGC Karaoke, bomb. I butchered that to hell, but whatever.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
And secondly, we have a very special, yet non-special guest. He's been around for a while. Jason, Blackhawk Down, Bay Striker.
What's up, people?
We have a pretty good show lineup for you guys. We're going to, of course, open up with our distractions, followed by a little bit of news. After the break, we're going to bring you very special guest Sean Riley from Twisted Pixel. He's going to be talking about Comic Jumper and some other Twisted Pixel games they've done in the past. We chat a variety of things with him. It's good times. We'll follow it up with some new releases, listener emails, and, of course, a brand new question of the week. So, kicking it off, well, Jason, you haven't been on here for a while.
Yes, true.
How have you been, man? It's been a while since you've been on. What have you been up to lately?
You know, same old. Nothing. No, lots of stuff. We had MGC. You guys already talked about that.
Yeah. It was all right.
I've been kind of sick lately, but there's nothing new with that. yeah, that's really about it.
Yeah, I'm recording with really? Jason. I'm his candy striper.
Yeah,
yeah, they're on the same spot right now.
Yeah, Travis is actually at my place right now, so I kind of got drug in by default.
I see how it is. It's like, yeah, we really need to use your place for a bit, but you're going to have to kind of on the podcast. And, you know. Jason puts on his Street Fighter controller and is like, all right, fine.
Fine, I guess. But I did miss you guys, seriously.
Oh,
this feels good.
We miss you too, man. A lot of listeners have been like, dude, we need Jason back on for a bit. You know, they miss you too, man.
They do miss
me. Bring him some love.
They don't miss
Travis.
Hey.
How you been?
I'm good. Aside from the horrid movie that I saw this week.
What'd you say?
Clash of the Titans.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you know what? I thought I liked that movie, and then I've had a little bit of time to stew on it. It was pretty bad.
That shit blew, man. It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was really bad. Like, I went in with high hopes, and I'm a big fan of the original Clash of the Titans, and I'm historically really, really good at separating, you know, okay, well, I've read the book, now the movie adaption's coming out, so I'm like, okay, well, let's try it out. I mean, I know it's a different beast, it's a whole different thing, so I'm just going to go in with an open mind, and I did the same thing with the original and then the new Clash of the Titans, and even with that frame of mind, it wasn't going for me.
Still ass.
It's really? Balls nasty.
Did you see it, Jason?
No, I did not. I attempted to. Seriously, the trailers are great.
It is a good trailer.
I haven't seen the original.
It's a fantastic trailer. You haven't seen the original?
No, have both of you guys seen the original?
I have not. I can't say it holds up, really.
It doesn't hold up, but it is really good. And you have to respect it for what it was for being 1981 or whatnot. But, like... Well, Jeff, it's on Netflix streaming.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, not cool.
No, but it is on Netflix streaming, and after the movie was over, we went home, and I put it on Netflix and I was like, okay, I gotta watch this over again. And you know, watching it now, actually the old movie kind of suffers from the same thing that this movie suffers from. You know, I love Harry Hamlin, like he's Perseus to me, but you know, him and Sam Worthington are kind of in the same boat, like a pretty face, but not really big on acting chops. No, you know, you, they, it's kind of, yeah, you know, Harry Hamlin wasn't nothing spectacular in, you know, acting wise. He's actually kind of corny.
Yeah. I didn't like him in the original movie.
Well, yeah, what has he been in besides Clash of the Titans?
What's that?
Veronica Mars.
God of War 2.
Really? Well, okay. He plays Perseus in God of War 2. That's not, that's kind of a cop-out. Really? Really? The Veronica Mars for real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was a major player in there actually.
Wow. Crazy. Didn't know that. And I'm a big, what's her face fan. Kristen Bell.
Yes. I like Kristen Bell. Yes.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall for the win.
Oh, for sure. Well, did you see it in 3D?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No, not for, yeah.
No, I missed Sarah that Marshall. One, buddy.
Yeah. The part when they go for the whole dinner thing at the restaurant, that is awesome in 3D. It's
like no, I heard the dick in the beginning of the movie in 3D is like, right. We'll blow your mind.
No, that's just flat. It's like Black Hawk Down right there in front of your face.
Total Black Hawk Down. But anyway, anyway, back to Clash of the Titans. No, I did not see it in 3D. I saw it in 2D. I heard it wasn't good filmed, for made for 3D, good so it's not you. Really worth it. It's just a waste of money. They just didn't perform things well. Things that were good in the 1981 movie, like, you know, Calabas, like to me, that's one of my favorite villains in a movie to date, and they really, really sold him short. He looked great in the new film, but compared to the screen time Calabas got in the first, and in the actual character development.
Which guy was Calabas? That shows.
In the new one, he was the king. He was like all he was the deformed demon that was going after Perseus.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with Hades. Hades isn't even in the original movie. Like they just threw him in there just because he's kind of like a.
Hey, know. He was in God of War. Let's.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
And it was Ralph Fiennes who plays Voldemort and did the exact. Voice for Voldemort it was crazy, but we're going too much on Clash of the Titans. This is not a Clash of the Titans podcast, so the movie wasn't good.
It's the same people that will be interested most likely who have seen it, but I mean the special effects kind of cool. The Kraken was cool. It kind of looked like the Kraken that you fought in Chains of Olympus a little bit.
Yeah, the Kraken was cool, and then, you know, in the Medusa fight, which is kind of like the high point of the movie. Like I can't say they did the Medusa fight very very well.
No, there's a big problem I have with that whole Medusa fight, big time with it, but I don't want to go into spoilers if you are going to go see the movie, but I was,
they kill Medusa, whoa, spoilers, watch out.
Before that, well, you know what, fuck it, if you haven't seen the movie, stop listening for 10 seconds, everyone in the fucking movie dies at that scene, everyone, it's like, okay, really, like, they're going to kill off every single main character at this point of the movie, really?
They killed the red shirts, I mean, just the regular guys.
In what, that scene?
The important person survives.
Well, yeah, the one important person. Everyone else died.
Good job, you just spoiled. Clash of the Titans, everybody.
I said spoiler alert.
He gave a warning. Sorry. It's total...
That's right. And I know Jason, if he hasn't seen it by now, he's going to wait.
So yeah, I'm probably going to wait.
Yeah. And so that was a letdown, but we also get Netflix movies in the mail as well, and we did get a good movie, Pandorum. I was.
Can I make one comment though before you? I'm saying, I was in the theater in the 3D version. Sorry. Well, Travis talks light. Isn't that a lot of room for people to speak?
I'm
up.
A talker.
So I was like,
I'm a smooth talker. What can I say? Ladies love me.
I was sitting there in the 3D version, and I'm looking on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, and it's Clash of the Titans, and a bunch of tweets come back saying like, oh, I just saw Clash of the Titans in 3D. Don't waste your money. Better to see it in 2D. And I'm sitting there in the 3D. Like, you guys are just telling me this shit now? And I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm like, this is not in 3D at all. At one point, I even took off my glasses. I'm like, there's no point. I'm like, this doesn't even look like it's in 3D. This is retarded. Whatever. Kind of mad. Anyway, on to your Pandorum.
Yeah, but Pandorum was good. But you know, it was just good. Let's leave it at that. You should see it because it's not what you think it is. Everybody thinks it's Dead Space, the movie. It's really not. It's completely different and it's really good. One of the Boondock Saints is in it. Thumbs up for like 10 seconds. But anyway, check it out. It's really good. Yeah, it's fun. So that's all for me. Just watch movies all week.
Cool. Basically the same with me. Just, yeah, watch movies. Did the whole Easter thing, and it was my sister's birthday on Saturday. We took her out for dinner and stuff and got drunk with the family. Good times. That's about it. So we'll talk about some games. So, Jason?
Yo.
You haven't been in a while. What have you been playing lately?
Nothing.
What's been distracting you?
Nothing at all. No, I'm kidding. No, Street Fighter 4. Hey, I think I've been playing that.
Oh, weird.
Game of the year.
Game of the motherfucking
of
year.
Of the year.
Chris ain't here. We can gloat about it.
I'll give a real brief synopsis of what I've been playing. Street Fighter 4, God of War 3, Heavy Rain. The Wii has returned.
No, you're fucking lying.
No, I am not kidding. No, I got some.
Your Wii doesn't even work, dude.
No, I got the birthday monies, and I took care of that little Wii situation. Picked up another one, and immediately got some games on WiiWare. What did I get? Cave Story, of course. Ooh. Fucking phenomenal. Okay.
Great graphics. Oh,
is it really that good?
Great graphics.
I think so.
Is it just a remake of the original, or is it a brand new game?
No, remake. So they updated the sprites a little bit, made it, you know, so it's actually, you know, HD, or not, or like widescreen resolution.
Wii in HD, come on.
But, you know, it's got very familiar and, you know, classic and nostalgic gameplay, and, you know, it just tugs at those retro heartstrings. And I love it. So, and I played the shit out of the PC version, so.
Cool.
Just to see it, you know, reinvigorated, I guess, reinvented on the Wii is great. You're going to say something?
I was going to say, I remember somebody being on our show a while ago. I'm not sure if it was Industria or maybe Gruul. Imagine Cave Story for the PC.
It was Industria, yeah. And he said that it was probably one of his favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's crazy.
I can't put it in that echelon, but you know, it's definitely a great like old school kind of game. But aside from that, also on the Wii, I got Excitebike for some like weird reason.
Nice.
It was fun. Yeah.
Don't you have trials?
Yeah, trucks. I don't think Excitebike wants you to throw your controller through the window, though.
But yeah, it brought me right back, you know, to very old school, you know, just the same kind of gameplay that it was before, you know, that I remember, but just with updated graphics. Doesn't look all that great, but it was still a lot of fun. Also picked up WarioWare, the DIY stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of neat. I haven't put too much time into that. I think it's really cool that you can actually sync up to, like, DS and stuff and, like, create and share games.
Now, you make your own little mini games.
You can, yeah.
That one, right?
Yeah, I haven't delved into that too much, but, and it's very
so that's already out?
Yeah, that's out.
I had no idea that was already out. Okay.
Cool. But yeah, I love the WarioWare games. They're fun.
They're really cool.
Else have I been playing? I think that might be about it. Yeah, seriously.
Did you play any other games for Wii? Maybe like House of the Dead?
A little bit. And I don't want to talk about that too much yet because I've only put in like an hour. But yeah, I picked up House of the Dead Project Overkill. And yeah, I love it so much.
Yeah, I haven't played. I need to fucking play Dead Space. I have to play that.
Extraction.
I bought it like how many months? Yeah, Extraction. Like how many months ago, and I still haven't played it yet. Because I thought someone stole my nunchuck. And I was almost ready to blame one of my friends who was over here, like playing the Wii one night, and all of a sudden my nunchuck went missing. And I was ready, like, I was like kind of hitting him, like, yeah, you know what? I'm missing my nunchuck. I don't know where it went. Do you ever remember where it was? And I had no idea. And then, like, a week later, I'm looking through all my crap, and I find it, like, under something. I blame the cat.
There it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I gotta play that. Cool.
But the real reason why you know, I couldn't wait any longer to get the Wii is I'm so excited for Monster Hunter Tri.
Really?
So excited for that. You know, I love the Monster Hunter series. I fucking hate it on the PSP just because I cannot play on that fucking controls. Thing. I've got these big Frankenstein hands and they cramp up and shit. It's ridiculous. And it just... kills me that I can't play it, but now that it's on the Wii, you can use the
Have you tried the controller. Demo?
Yeah, I love the demo, actually.
Really? I haven't downloaded it. I gotta do that.
And you get actually, like, level up characters, so it gives you a really, really good taste of, you know, what's to come in the game. But I think the biggest, it's not an improvement, but it's just like it's a change. You know how Chris would bitch about how you had to use the right stick to attack all the time?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a new controller option where you can actually use the face buttons to attack instead of that right stick.
Okay.
So I used that, and it felt a lot more natural. I like that a lot more. So I'm excited for that. I'm going to get that bundle, yo, with that sexy black classic controller. Fuck yeah.
Oh, that controller looks pretty awesome. It's a new controller, too, right? It's like a new classic controller. Like, it's supposed to have like an improved D-pad on it and stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's got like handles and stuff. And it looks sexy as shit.
Yeah, they added some crazy shit. Cool. So that all you've been playing?
That's really about it. Maybe a little bit of Ratchet & Clank, Crack in Time.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw you playing that the other night, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But otherwise, I think Street Fighter's been, you know, taking up the majority
of taking up your time.
Yeah, especially after enduring MGC. Jesus Christ.
Oh, god damn.
Yeah, sport!
Yep.com. That's a website.
Travis, what about you, man?
Road Rash, Colony Wars. What? Loving those games, yeah. Dude. I am all about
still
that
playing
shit.
Them, huh?
Dude,
I do play the usual, like, I get to pick up a retro game. I play it for like 10 minutes and I'm like, yeah.
Dude, I've played maybe like 3 chapters of Colony Wars, but I've like done like at
that's
least
14 minutes 10 of gameplay for people who
like races in Road Rash. Like, that is my sit down. Okay, what am I playing? Okay, I'm going to play Road Rash while I think about what current generation game I'm going to play, so I do that.
That's crazy. But, you can't put in a disc for that. Usually that's like my Xbox Live Arcade or PSN game that I do that for. You actually put in a disc to say, like, what am I going to play next?
I love it so much.
Does that version still have the Soundgarden video?
Yeah. It's a full 3DO. It's the full port. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it so much. So I'm playing that in Colony Wars. Metro 23. Jeff. It's still awesome.
Still awesome.
The
shooting
mechanic.
How many hours in?
I don't know how many hours. I'm chapter 5, which is pretty good for the game. If I were to venture a guess, it would be maybe about 4 hours into it, give or take a few. I'm playing in small doses, and I think this is the way I'm going to keep on playing this game, because playing too much, the shooting aspect, like I said last week, the shooting does have an issue. When a shotgun blast, I kind of like compare this to Fallout, you know, last week, and I'm going to do the same thing this week. You know, in Fallout, you have a shotgun to somebody point-blank range, you shoot them 2 or 3 times, they still don't go down. Mm-hmm. You kind of accept it because you know there are numbers. This is a role-playing game. There are numbers behind it. Yeah, it's a roll of a dice, and that's how they judge the damage that you cause. Okay, yeah, 3 shots point-blank, you know, to a raider wearing nothing over their chest. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I can accept that. But in a game that's kind of like the shooting's more along the Call of Duty mechanic, where in games like that, if you shoot somebody point blank range in a Call of Duty game with a shotgun, they're going to go down, because you want to have some of that realistic damage. In this game, not the case.
Because it's cheap in Call of Duty.
Yeah. So two or three shots with a shotgun and a human is not going to go down. It kind of takes you away from the game, and it really saddens me, because the immersion that this game puts you in, like how great of the you know, it's the world they put you in. You know, it's awesome. Like, and I love the game so much. Like, it really is. I'm definitely gonna finish this game all the way through, and I kind of want to write a review on it on the site. Because it is just a good game, and it's sad that the shooting kind of takes you out of it. You know, the core gameplay is gonna take you out of something that's so great.
Yeah, it bothers the hell out of me. That's my main problem with Alien vs. Predator, is because the atmosphere is freaking awesome. They nail the whole Predator, Alien, and Marine aspect of it. But then when you actually start playing, and the AI of the opponent is totally unrealistic and just dumb, it kind of ruins it.
I'm going to tell you right now, dude.
Man.
Are we talking about God of War 3?
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you, Jeff, you really need to play this game. And in this game, I'm pretty sure it's not going to sell too well.
I don't think it will either.
I would give it week. I mean, in a matter of weeks, this game will be 30 bucks. Maybe a couple months.
So?
All right? Easy.
Who's the publisher?
It's THQ. And that's why I love this game so much, man. Like I said, I'm a THQ fanboy now. I love the stuff they're putting out. And
you love Darksiders, yeah? You played that like what, twice?
I won't say no. I will say Darksiders is a good game. It's just not my style, so I won't hate on it now. But you need to try this game out, Jeff. From a first person shooter fan to another dude, you need to try this out. I'm gonna lay it down for you. Best first-person shooter graphics that you can get on the 360 right now.
Bullshit.
Without a doubt. It is the most beautiful world, and you're in subways, and you're in these little, like, you know, it's just amazing what they put together.
But he likes Halo, so, I mean, obviously
Halo
doesn't look good, though.
No, I know. Jeff, you need to try
it
out.
I like the gameplay of it, but, I mean, it looks better than, like, Modern Warfare 2, or, like, it looks better than Fallout? Fallout doesn't look that
good. No, it looks way better than Fallout. But you gotta remember, it's a different world. Like, you're looking at deep, like these, like, dank, narrow corridors when you're in the subway, and then when you go up top, it's a different type of post-apocalyptic world. It's more of like that nuclear winter. Everything's like kind of frozen and not, you know, barren and desolate like in Fallout. So it's two different worlds. You can't really compare.
Were it not in Siberia, it wouldn't be so, you know, frozen, but whatever.
Right, yeah. Mother Russia.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, Metro's great. I love it. But there's a game that's been cutting into a lot of that time, and that's Just Cause 2. That is,
tell me about this.
Okay.
Sell me on Just Cause 2.
I'm going to sell you on Just Cause. I'm going to sell you on Just Cause. Where Final Fantasy 13 is a really, it is a good game. It looks
Are you about to compare Final Fantasy 13 and Just Cause 2?
Below me, Jeff. Hear me out. Hear me out.
I'm going to hear you out, but I can just think of a
couple. No, hear me out. I'm not comparing the two games as genres, okay? This is just a broad generalization about video games. Where Final Fantasy 13 is a well-built game. It looks beautiful, good sound, good voice acting, the total package, everything you would want in a game. But for me, I cannot have fun. This game is the polar opposite, to where... It does look good, but the voice acting is trash.
Excellent.
The shooting is not all that great. So like the actual game mechanics, you're not getting the total package here, but it is, I'm having a total blast. And I was talking to Jason about this earlier, that I have maybe played the intro mission. Just the intro mission, and it comprises of two set missions that you have to do before you're into the open world. I just played those missions and nothing else, and I've been playing for about 6 or 7 hours.
I got to ask you a question just because we're in MGC, and when Double Urican brought that over to Scott's, we tried playing it, and Double Urican could not pass the very first mission where you have to parachute out of the thing and land in that area.
Yeah.
And I guess it goes to a cutscene. How many times did it take you to actually beat that part?
Once. It was easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because Urican failed it about 3 times. I think I failed it once or twice, and I finally got it.
Yeah.
But... Were you pulling back on the analog to kind of make that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did it. It was done. It was completed.
That was our biggest issue, because like, it didn't tell you how to control the parachute, and like that if you held back, it would pull out the parachute to a point where you're kind of basically like going forward and really slowly going down. And,
it's past my point.
Okay? I know.
Once you get into the open world, piss on the mission structure because the missions are trash. I'm never going to beat this game. I will never, ever, ever beat Just Cause 2. But this is the most fun I've ever had in a video game all year because the things you can do with the parachute, the grappling hook. Oh my God.
It's a huge sandbox. It's
a huge sandbox and probably one of the most, is the largest, like, sandbox that I've ever seen. Like, it is massive. And, I mean, there's like a huge, one main island that's damn near a continent, not a continent, but
it's like 4 square miles or something like that.
Something like that. And then you have like all these outlying, peninsulas and islands all around them. It's a fucking lost island.
Yeah.
A lost island. You fly any plane or helicopter above it and your plane automatically explodes and you go down into it and there's like all those lost like Easter eggs and everything. It's really, really cool.
Have you done the whole grappling hook to the ground as you're falling down?
Yeah, you can do that. I'm trying to find so many ways. Like, I find myself trying to break the game in terms of what I can do with the grappling hook. Like, I want to, like, grapple, like, I'll knock down a statue. Like, I'll attach a grapple to a statue and attach it to the car and then drive and knock the car off and, like, the head rolls. And I'm trying to, like, take the head and grapple it to, like, a helicopter in the game and see if the helicopter get pulled down. I'm just trying all this fun stuff for hours and hours and hours.
I actually saw a YouTube video where some dude was actually standing near a runway, an airplane runway, and there was a tree nearby. He detached the grappling hook to the tree and then threw it on the plane. And the plane would just like slowly circle around the tree like over and over. And he'd wait for another plane to come and he'd attach another one. So there's like 3 or 4 planes going around the tree.
That's
one of
hilarious.
The coolest things that I did, I was in an airport and I was trying to like, claim the airport as my own. And to do that, you have to destroy like all the fuel tanks and the generators and everything. You have to destroy everything to where you destroy 100% of the base and you claim it as your own as one. Like, if you die near it, that's where you'll spawn, after you load. And, anyway, I'm fighting all these guys. I'm surrounded by all these people. I'm trying to, shoot people, dodge bullets and all this. And I'm on my car and you can do the stunt jumps where you kind of jump on top of your car while the car is moving. So while I'm doing that, I'm on the runway and I'm, kind of surfing the car and I see this plane. It's like 747 flying straight at me. I'm like, oh shit. And it shoots above me, like above my head. And I'm like, fuck it. So like as I'm riding on top of my car, I grapple on top of the plane. And like next thing I know, I'm being like drugged by the plane up in the air. It was just like a great moment. And like, for something that's just so random, has nothing to do with the storyline, to me, told like the gaming story of a lifetime. Like, I was like, I cannot wait to talk about this on the fucking podcast because that was amazing what it just did. And you know what? And the game is not like
not very technically,
not very polished. I mean, but it's beautiful. I don't know. I'm having a blast with it, and it's definitely not the perfect game. And that's why I can compare it to Final Fantasy in the fact that it is a well-put-together game. It's just I can't have fun with it. I don't know what the deal is. So, other than that, Madden 10, getting ready for Madden 11.
What?
I'm excited.
That's soon.
A few months away from that.
And you're anticipating Breeze to be injured for next season?
Yeah, it's going to happen, so whatever.
You talk about your Maddens.
Talk about Maddens. Yeah, so I'm just getting ready for 11.
That's where Jason goes and takes a really big steamy dump.
I'm actually quite surprised they're not really... Usually by now, there's a lot of features that they're, you know, kind of coming out saying, okay, we're doing this year and this year.
What can they possibly do, though?
Are they improving the roster? Time. Is it going to be updated?
Supposedly,
they're going to have new players.
Yes,
they
are updating the roster.
Awesome.
Can I buy the new jerseys online for 800 Microsoft points?
Maybe. Possibly. We don't know. Awesome. They haven't said anything yet. Douches.
Okay, cool. Nice. Can we play Doctor and operate on Drew Brees? And
anyway, the other game I'm playing right now is I'm not really playing it. Megan's going through Heavy Rain. The Megatron is completing Heavy Rain today. She just
Heavy
finished
Rain.
the finger chapter.
Yeah,
and she was mortified. She was mortified. So yeah, but she's soldiering through it. She's enjoying the game because like she's getting to the point now where she's like, we're driving under us. Like, when we get home, can we play Heavy Rain? I'm like, oh, you're so sexy, so sexy. So I'm like, we're playing Just Cause after Heavy Rain.
Yeah, that's a decent jump.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I
played my first
seamless
video game ever. I recommend Demon Souls. It's gonna be great.
And that's all I'm playing. So Jeff, tell us what you're playing so I can go ahead and criticize your shit.
Seriously, Street Fighter has been like right at the top of my list since MGC.
Yes!
And yeah, that totally made the bug bite again. It kind of like shucked the rust off, and I was like, oh, I'm totally into the whole competitive aspect. And
you
Scrubs
missed the
sport.
Tournament. The big Scrubs.
That is my biggest. Tony asked, like, is there any regrets you have from MGC? I'm like, dude, it's having that like that nap through the fucking tournament because I wanted to fucking be there, but I didn't want to die.
And I was standing next to Jason through the majority of the tournament, and like every 5 minutes, where the fuck is Jeff?
Yeah, dude.
Where is Jeff?
I wish someone would have came out and got me because
I was watching Street Fighter.
So I was like, Tony, where were you? Just come get me. I want to watch it. I can't blame her. It's my dumb fault for the night before. But
I can't believe how many people showed up to that.
That was amazing.
Yeah, for dude. That
we gave
was
you props
awesome.
Last week, man. Like that was a huge turnout.
I had one big flub though. Second to last match, which I thought was the last match. I like stand up. I'm getting everybody hyped and
hyped
shit. I'm like,
second
to
last
the
match.
Most hype match of MGC.
Like one guy's like,
he's holding the Snuggie up in the air.
Everybody's yelling Snuggie. And then I'm like, the last match. And then some dude comes up and is like, wait, I got one more match. I'm like,
oh, second shit. Last match, not the Snuggie.
Second most hype match.
They get a big hug from me.
No, but it got a great laugh. It got a good laugh. He played it off. It was nice. It was
not embarrassing at all.
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, it totally bit me. I've been playing it like every single day basically since then. Other than that, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 13. I don't want to turn my back on it because I actually did enjoy what I played of it. So I hope to keep at it a little bit and try to beat it. I'm going to stick to this will be the first Final Fantasy that I complete, hopefully.
Good
luck
with
complete
that.
It, I don't mean complete like platinum. I mean like just beat the story, maybe some other stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I've never seen an ending to a Final Fantasy ever in my entire life.
Can I show on record and say that I actually like Final Fantasy 13, believe it or not?
Yeah, no, yeah, I didn't like it up until, I guess I don't know, it was weird. Like, chapter, like, 6, I was like, oh, it's getting kind of good. Then it kind of got shitty for a bit. Then, now that I'm at, like, chapter 9, I'm actually really enjoying it, so. And Travis, not so much.
Travis is done.
Yeah, I'm a very casual
almost
Final
went
Fantasy
back
fan.
And then played it, but I was planning on, like, signing off a PSN so no one saw me. Well, I looked in the strategy guide while I was at Target the other day.
Yeah.
Boutique.
And I was at Target, and I was looking through one of the strategy guides, and I was like, man, I am, like, in the very, very last part of Chapter 9.
I have to push up to advance.
The very, very last part of Chapter 9. I was like, I could go back and finish Chapter 9 and see what Chapter 10's about. then I have to sign on to PSN, so no one see me playing it, and you know, and think I'm a hypocrite. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'll play Road Rash."
You know what's funny to me? I'm sorry to interrupt. Just one more thing on that. Everybody says, you know, everything opens up at chapter 11. That's when the game gets really good and it's more traditional. That's when I kind of started losing interest. Actually,
well, yeah, because you're like, you don't like opening, you don't like overwhelmed of like, anything, right? Yeah, so. That's why I said I
appreciated them holding my hand through a lot of that stuff because it just gradually spoon fed me, you know, into the kind of complicated, you know, new combat engine and everything. So like, I was really appreciative of that.
I think that's where like I'm kind of similar, whereas I don't like that whole overwhelming feeling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't like to be really have my hand held, and I felt like all the Final Fantasies didn't hold your hand, but at a certain point. It expected you to know shit that I just didn't know, and then I had to be like, "Screw this! I'm not playing this game." Whereas far, this one has done the opposite. Like it didn't get my attention at first, but now I'm like, it's teaching me how I should play the game. And when it finally hit a point where I was like, "This is actually pretty freaking cool, pretty fun," now I want to keep playing. Whereas I'm about, I guess, 20 hours in, and that is almost. As far as I've gone with any other Final Fantasy game, and I still want to keep playing. So it's kind of had this opposite effect on me, which is kind of really weird. Mm-hmm. But
either way, it's really polarizing, you know, fans of the game, I think.
Oh, God, yeah. People love it. People hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, like, big Final Fantasy fans both ways. Like, Scott Sauer from The Goo, like, big Final Fantasy player, and so is Adam.
Mm-hmm.
They like 13.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
And Scott's saying that 13 is the best since 8. So that's quite a while ago. So mm-hmm. And he really loved 8 a lot. So who knows? I don't know. Good and game. Travis, I mean, you're a big Final Fantasy guy too, and you're just kind of like opposite. You're like,
The first time for any Final. Like, I remember like enjoying fucking Final Fantasy Mystic Quest on the SNES. Like, I'm like, oh, I love this game.
Ouch. Oh my
like,
god!
I had a blast. Like, I never beat it, but I never hated the game. Like, I was I like Final Fantasy so much. I was open to anything. Like, I almost to the point of like pure fanboyism to where I was like, okay, no matter what, it's a Final Fantasy game. I'm gonna love it because it's Final Fantasy. And this just wasn't the case with this one. I don't know.
Weird.
But it is a good game, man. I mean, I'll give it its props.
No, that's good respect. Like, you respect it for being a good game, you're just not having fun with it.
Absolutely.
Which hopefully people can understand, because some people will not take that in the right way. A lot of writing for. I blame this also on Scott from The Goo.
Loving it up.
Yeah, Espeluga 2. I want that game so bad. Like, that game was awesome. I played that at Scott's, and I fell in love with it. I can't justify paying $80 for it right now. God, I think that's a little bit much for a game that I truly believe should be an Xbox Live Arcade game. Like, a good, like, you know, like maybe a $20 Xbox Live Arcade game, but I think that should be put on there. But, you know, not coming to North America has a problem with that. But I did pre-order today, actually, with Nebishin. Thanks again for the contest you had, in which Chris won for Valkyria Chronicles.
I love that guy.
He's awesome.
Nebishin.
Yes. I put that $20. I want to keep it for something special, something that I could not just spend on a regular game. I actually put it towards Death Smiles today, limited edition, which looks like Espeluga 2, but scrolls horizontally instead of vertically. So that's what I put it towards. Yeah, shoot one up. I bought that on Travis's recommendation.
That's fun.
That is pretty cool.
It is fun. I like the multiple ship, like, you know. I mean, I'm not really, you know, well trained, well versed in, you know, shmups, but being able to have like, you know, like what 20 ships in one.
Yeah,
then you can like, you know, have it all one ship, or you can spread them out to other ships. But that's part of like the puzzle. Like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. having your ship spread out, it's not a good thing. You want to have them condensed in. Like, that was really cool.
Totally.
How you did that?
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I played a lot of that, and I was like, that's a really good X-Men game. If you guys have a dollar to spend, check it out. Shoot one up. I think it's really, really good. A lot of fun. But yeah, seriously, it's been Street Fighter, a little bit of Final Fantasy, and a bunch of random shmups. I played some Ikaruga and stuff like that. I played some of the Splinter Cell Conviction demo, which I'm still not 100% sold on. I think it's pretty cool. I'm not going to buy it day one, just because I'll get into it. Like, are you getting Splinter Cell, Travis?
It's going to be a rental.
Really?
It's going to be a rental?
It'll be a rental.
Jason?
No, not interested. Sorry.
Not interested?
Passing.
Okay, well.
I mean, yeah. the deniable ops is pretty much like the main sell for me. Like, if that co-op stuff. Yeah, if that co-op multiplayer is really worth it to where we can keep on going back and playing it more and more. Yeah, but, you know, they're fixed situations. It's not like it's just like a big multiplayer map and everybody's going at it head to head. So, yeah. It's kind of fixed. So, I guess it's depending. If me and you were playing it like nonstop, it's going to get stale pretty fast. For sure. It just depends, you know, how big the game is.
Oh, well, I did actually order from Amazon Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Good for you.
But I canceled it.
What?
The reason why I canceled it is because, this is why, it was on sale at Amazon for, I think it was $49.99. And then I looked at my, like, shelf of games I will never, ever play again in my entire life. And I have a better deal just going and trading in two games to GameStop and getting it for $20.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting it tomorrow.
Okay, I didn't get it today. I mentioned my thing. I played Battlefield 2, as well.
Will you guys teach me how to play? I still have it from GameFly.
It's
so simple. It's really, really simple to play.
I can't teach you shit.
Dude, it's crazy simple to play.
I'm so scared, dude.
I'm right there with you, man. First of all, first shooter on a PS3 besides Killzone 2 and Resistance 2, I don't know.
I'm so scared. Yeah.
The listeners can't see it, but you see this right here, buddy?
Yeah.
That's a wing. And I'm going to cradle you under it.
Grab it.
I'll be your wingman anytime.
That's right.
All right.
So I'm going to get that tomorrow, so hopefully we'll jump into that. But cool. Other than that,
PS3?
Guys...
PS3?
That's what I'm getting it for right, sure, because, cool. I have a few friends
I've really got to play it. Shit. Oh, God.
Yep. Definitely PS3.
Okay.
But yeah, that's basically it, man. It's been a shitload of Street Fighter, and in a couple more weeks, I'm sorry, listeners, but you're going to hear a lot more. We have to bring Jason back on again, for sure, because we're going to have to do a Super Street Fighter. We can do it separate from the show. I don't care, whatever.
Chris can stay at home.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some kind of thing about Super Street Fighter. After like a week or two of people getting kind of used to characters, we're going to have to do something on Super Street Fighter 2. So, saying that right now. Cool. So, I guess we're going to go into news, right?
Take it away, buddy.
Cool. Again, not so much news. It's been kind of slow. It's getting to that time of year. Gears of War 3. I don't know if people were paying attention, but Cliff Bleszinski was supposed to be on the Jimmy Fallon show tonight, which is Thursday. He got bumped by some guy named Justin Bieber. I don't know who this guy is. You guys know who this guy is?
He's like 14 or 15 years old. Apparently, he's like all the rage. He's like kind of like the
Is he? Like a Moffitt's or something, or like a Hanson.
You know how Disney will put out like that latest and greatest new teen sensation. Well, he is like it.
Really?
Right now? Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were supposed to unveil something at Jimmy Fallon. They didn't say what it was. Whether it was Gears of War 3 or that new game that they were working on. They got bumped. So they released some info to the press of Gears of War 3 details, which this is going to be my whole ODST of Gears thing. I was not impressed with what they announced. They basically announced some things like Gears of War 3 is going to take place in more brighter environments. It's going to be like more like foliage and like jungle type atmosphere, more color. There's going to be some little deep. Sorry?
Can I hear some rainbows? Yeah?
Rainbows, yeah! High five! Woo! Come to Toronto in, July. Or is it August? I don't know. Whenever. Travis, when's the Pride Parade?
I don't know. I haven't talked to your mom in forever.
Oh, snappity snap. Apparently, the locust will have some kind of move to knock you out of cover, but you're going to have a move that can counter that by sending a bomb through the ground. The thing that really set me off
that
was...
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
It's no, like... one thing that really got me ticked was apparently you're going to be able to get into big mechs. I was kind of like, really?
That's been done.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like,
well, with the game with a cover command, you know, a cover mechanic like Gears of War, what else can you do?
Well, that is true.
There was some serious, cover mechanic saturation going on after Gears of War's. Gears of War emerged. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And it's got to the point now, what can it do now?
The only thing I think of, back to Gears of War 2, I'm going to spoil it, because at this point, if you haven't beat it, you're not going to. Towards the end, you ride a Brumac. And they probably thought, this is really awesome gameplay, we're going to throw you in a... this is all speculation, by the way, and there's no one's seen anything. Throw you in a mech suit, and this is kind of what it's going to be like. I don't know. But actually, all the stuff that was announced today kind of turned me off. to Gears of War 3. I was kind of like, it sounds like more Gears with a bunch of stuff they really didn't need to have to add, and they're adding it just because people will think it's cool, quote unquote, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to it, I'm going to play it once and it's going to sit on my shelf.
Oh, that's what happened with 2. I loved 1 so much. I played through 2 once and then it's been on there ever since. Don't want to knock them or anything like that. I'm still excited for it because, I mean, it's Gears. Gears is a big franchise. Both games are a lot of fun. But what they announced today, I hope, wasn't what they were originally going to show on Jimmy Fallon, unless they were going to show gameplay footage, which would blow everyone away, which we're not going to see until Monday now because Justin Bieber, whatever, pushed them back, whoever that guy is. But what did excite me is kind of a little bit of a rumor. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 might be announced in May.
What?
Exactly, what? This is coming from a site that... it's just a rumor right now. Yeah. Basically, a blog site posted this last week, or earlier this week, saying that Capcom was going to announce this in May. People think, okay, it's just a blog site. Who cares? Probably has no credibility. But this is the same site that, when Super Street Fighter 4 was announced, they actually ran down the exact roster that was going to be on Super Street Fighter 4 months before they were announced, and they got it bang on. Right. So this guy apparently has connections with people like informants from like Capcom or whatnot, and saying, yeah, it's going to be announced in May. It sits alongside where I guess Seth Killian said that he would they would love to do another Versus game. And depending on whether or not Tatsunoko vs. Capcom sold well on the Wii, there's a big possibility that they would look into another game in the franchise, especially Marvel's Capcom. So, I don't know. Usually we don't kind of put this in our news, but I'm excited for this. I like Marvel's Capcom 2. I think it's broken to shit, but I mean, it's fun.
People are still playing it, though. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I don't know, Jason, did you jump in on any of the matches on when we were at MGC with Marvel's Capcom?
Not at MGC, no. I watched you guys play a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. As long as you get people that aren't going to pick, like, play to win every single time and pick, like Sentinel Storm, and Iron Sentinel, Man, Storm. Cable, Cable. It can be a lot of fun. And if they do it, I don't care if they do it in HD kind of form, HD remix, or if they do the whole Tatsunoko versus Capcom style, I'm all for it. Why not? Let's cross your fingers.
They are crossed.
Nice. Canada, that's where I'm from.
Where?
Canada.
Canadian. Oh, okay.
Heard of that. Yeah, we're right above you. Yeah.
But you're really below us.
They over... Oh, snap. How's your dollar doing? Oh, just saying. Anyway, they overtook the UK for the third biggest game developer in the world. Yay!
Yeah!
Who gets... Yeah. Basically puts them behind, of course, US and Japan.
But thank they you, took Ubisoft over. And BioWare, right? Yeah.
That's basically what did it. I'm pretty positive.
Yeah. Like, thanks to your friend.
Thank you for all the Imagine games.
Yeah, appreciate Ubisoft it. Opened up a developer, I'm pretty sure, in every single province of Canada, and then some. Yeah. Anyway, I just had to throw it in there because I'm Canadian. But more importantly, like that could be who's shit, depending on who you are. If you're a Canadian racist, I'm not going to judge. But this is a little thing that I'm kind of... Modern Warfare 2 sold a crap load of copies, right? We all bought it. Jason? No. Travis, you bought it.
It was damn near mandatory for...
It was mandatory for like the first 3 weeks that you were on the show. The stimulus package just released, actually, this week. It sold for $15 per download, which gave you 3 original maps plus 2 direct copies of Modern Warfare 1 maps for $15, which is the highest priced.
What are we map stimulating here?
Yeah. Well, your wallet, apparently.
Your debt.
Their balls,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So everyone, you looked on the internet, everyone's bitching, that's too much money. $15 is ridiculous for basically 3 new maps. Well, 2.5 million people bought that in the first week. And that is on one console. That is 360 exclusive. That is one console.
It's like the same amount of people that wanted to boycott the game but ended up buying it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is going to release on PSN, I believe, May 4th. I'm sure a lot of people are going to buy it on that too. People, if vote with your wallet. This is you're making your own bet. If you really don't like the prices, do not buy it. I know there's a peer pressure thing. All my friends are buying it, whatever. But don't bitch when every other developer now are going to release map packs for $15. Because that's what's going to happen. Activision did it. Everyone else is going to be able to do it now. And that hurts, man.
Thanks, assholes.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it. And I'm a huge Modern Warfare fan. I'm like, fuck that. I am not buying it.
So you guys going to buy the Battlefield Bad Company 2 maps when they're $15 bucks or $30?
Everything, damn right. Fuck that. Everything's free, right? Everything's free right now. That's what's great. You buy a new, and everything's free. Activision will never, Activision will never, ever, ever do anything like what BioWare is doing with the Cerberus Network, with the VIP program, with you know what EA is doing with Battlefield. They are never ever going to do that. Of course, they don't have to. What you know, the stat you just gave to us is
2.5
you know,
million
that they're never ever going to do that.
2.5 million times 15.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of fucking money. It's balls. it's a balls nasty amount of money, and it is ridiculous that they do that. And you know what? Actually, look. Like did you 30... just read on Kotaku right now that fucking Bobby Kotick just came out and put a thing
and said, "Hey, I'm just quoting my dick in your mouth."
I'm quoting him right now. This is ridiculous. He says, "All you guys are bitching about Activision, and you 2.5 million of you just bought $15 worth of map packs, and I'm just gonna tell you guys." Who gives a shit?
Because
Bobby Kotick don't, because he's rich.
Right.
He is just
fucking rich.
That is crap.
Thank it's you, sickening.
Good job.
Appreciate it, yeah. Thanks for setting the standard, guys. That's fucking awesome. Cool.
Innovative.
Well, that was your news overall.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good show. You're welcome, Jason. Well, we're going to take a break right now, I think, because I think that's much deserved. Right after the break, we're going to hit up Sean Riley from Twisted Pixel.
Yeah, he's waiting in the green room right now for us.
He is really waiting right now, eating all the free stuff that we support him, because, you know, more money has, and we get paid by everybody and their grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Jason just gives us money for the hell of it.
We're going to hype the shit out of this game. Oh,
it's
God.
Damn
amazing.
Right. It's going to be fat princess levels, guys. It might be flower. We don't quite know. We'll have to wait till it gets released. Don't jump to conclusions. we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk about his new game, their new game, Comic Jumper, as well as like Explosion Man in the Mall and stuff like that in their history. Right after that, we're going to, of course, hit up our usual new releases, listener emails, and, of course, a brand new question of the week. So until then, you know, we'll be right back in about, like, what, 10 minutes?
Give or take.
1 minute to you guys. Shit.
15 seconds.
Yeah.
Word.
Throw in a 10-second spot.
Peace.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos, check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kill me some terrorists. Ain't never going to know what hit them. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com, because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goos and VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome back.
Today, we're speaking with Sean Riley from Twisted Pixel Games.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the name, they are the creators of The Maw. And Explosion Man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fine, doing fine. So we would definitely want to ask you some questions about your new game coming up.
What game is that?
What game is that? Tell us about it, buddy.
It's called Comic Jumper, The Adventures of Captain Smiley, and it's going to be for XBLA and sort of a comedy shooter and other gameplay things.
Nice, nice. I'm excited about it. I think we all watched the videos, and, oh man, those were really good. Especially that reveal trailer was really funny. I like that.
So,
I'm excited about it. I mean, you guys have put out two hits so far, so it's no doubt that the third we're very excited about. So
yeah, this one's gonna be interesting because we it's our first spoken comedy and stuff. Like, usually with Explosion Man and Malawi, you know, it was all sort of through the visuals. So, I don't know. It's weird whenever you do, like, humor like this. Like, are people going to relate to it? Or, you know, some are going to like it, some aren't. But I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I actually heard that you guys are hiring, you know, professional writers to write some of the dialogue for this one.
Yeah. We had Ed Cannell and Matthew Enton, who are two awesome writers that we knew from way back that they do a lot of, like, comedy freelance work. I think one of them does work for The Onion and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
nice. cool.
And helped us with our script and stuff. So they did a lot of really, really funny stuff.
Kick ass.
And the voice acting, I'm excited about that for this next game. You didn't get Nolan North, did you? he's in everything.
It's the only game produced in America without Nolan North.
So. Nice, wow. Good. Okay, you know what? Kudos. It takes a brass pair to not get Nolan North for your game. well, we did have a couple of questions for you. When I say a couple, I mean a lot. Okay. We wanted to start off real general because we want to know about Twisted Pixel. You know, how did you guys get started out as a company?
Yeah, a bunch of us actually worked sort of more standard game development, and then we were at a place that was just like a lot of movie tie-ins and television tie-in games, and it just wasn't working. You know, we wanted to do our own thing. We wanted to have, you know, total creative freedom. So three dudes went off and made the company, and then as soon as they had the mall lined up, I was like, I really want to be a part, and so then I joined in, and it's been awesome. I mean, I guess I spent probably 7 years in, like, standard game development, and the ability to just not have, like, a publisher constantly telling you what to do and just, let's do this, let's do that. it's a really great feeling.
What do you do, Sean, specifically?
Yeah. a little bit of everything. I think because we're such a small team, like, I kind of came on as, like, lead designer, but I've actually ended up, we use Lua scripting for a lot of our gameplay, so I kind of morphed into like a half programmer and ended up doing like a lot of the gameplay stuff. And then right now I'm working on like cinematics and all that. So it's kind of like all over the place.
Cool deal. Going into the game with Comic Jumper, the very first thing, you know, with the trailers that we mentioned before that you really need to talk about is Captain Smiley himself. I mean, you can already tell it's going to be a really, really cool character. The design for Smiley, it's really interesting. You know, we definitely want to talk about that. Where was the what was your muse when you were looking into creating this character?
You know, actually, that was Josh Baer, one of the he's like the chief creative officer or whatever. He's that was like a comic strip that he, or a comic book character that he was like drawing in like seventh grade.
Nice.
And then it was always sort of like an idea he had for like, oh, this is a character that's gonna like jump into other comics. And so then once we decided like, hey, that'd be a really fun project to do, then we kinda like fleshed him out a little bit more. And I mean, it's like the design is basically exactly as he had it, but then just kinda getting like his personality exactly right and stuff. I kinda like him because he's not, you know, he thinks he's awesome, but he's not actually very awesome. Star's always pointing out, like, what an idiot he is, but he's just, like, he's kind of arrogant about everything, and so I think it creates a lot of funny moments.
Yeah, you guys had released some kind of, like, storyboard-type pictures of Captain Smiley and, like, the different faces he can make, and I was really, so are we going to be able to see, like, that animated into the game, like, those different faces that were, you know, in the storyboards?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like different depending on the genre, like exactly how he animates and things like that. But it's he's got definitely like a lot of facial movement and stuff. Like, I think in all our characters and all our games, we always, it's really important to us to like try and get the personality and like the faces and things like that. Like, I think it's weird when you see like super high budget games and things like that, but like they don't blink or they don't move or stuff like that, and that's just like something that we always just strive for.
You guys have done a pretty amazing job of making like all the characters in your games very charming and, you know, animated very, very well. I love the mall, by the way.
We were actually playing that before we got on.
Half the laughs from Explosion Man come from facial expressions and what the character's doing and saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so important, and it's like a, it's something like when you try and explain it to publishers, they don't always understand, like, really you want to, like, cut features because it's important that, like, you know, Explosion Man does a bunch of different animations when he's running and things like that. Like, but it's like, yeah, that is actually really important. And so,
definitely adds to the character.
And what about a Star? You know, he seems to be at odds with Captain Smiley at all times. Is that going to be a running
suck?
Sorry, is that going to be a running theme throughout the game? Because I can just kind of imagine, you know, him jumping in the air, shooting people, and all of a sudden that sucked or something. Like, you know,
yeah, he's pretty much constantly commenting and like, I don't know. I love Star. I think he's like a great just. He's pretty much saying what people are thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just funny too. Like he kind of is saying things, and people just sort of ignore him because he's he doesn't actually do anything. Like he's just a star on the chest. Like all he's there to do is annoy Smiley. But but I think he does a really good job at that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, and looking at some of these videos, a couple of games come to mind, like Comic Zone and Earthworm Jim, especially when we're talking about Captain Smiley.
Yeah,
very very Earthworm Jim esque. So now, did other characters in games like these were they like an influence to the design of the game and Captain Smiley?
I think definitely, like Earthworm Jim, even you know, when we were working on the Maw and. Explosion Man, we'd be talking about like those old Rare games and you know, the personality that they managed to get into their characters, and that's something that we always sort of try for. So we were definitely looking at that in the beginning of our project, and you know, we'll just talk about it in like design meetings and stuff like that, like, oh, we should, you know, try and emulate this sort of thing.
Awesome. Last question about Captain Smiley, and I promise I'll drop him. I need a Captain Smiley action figure for my podcast desk. When is that coming out?
That would be totally awesome. you know, we got the that stuffed animal Maw. That's like, it's like constantly out whenever we bring it to like conventions and stuff like that.
I want that. So.
And I think that's done really well. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see a action figure in the future or something like that.
I'm actually going on petition.org right now and starting up right now. So you will have that on your desk Monday. Okay, so enough about Captain Smiley, more about the game itself. Now, will the game strictly be more of like a side-scrolling shooter, or are we going to see more like different genres in the game, like a racing segment or any other type of you know, genre?
Yeah, there's not going to be a racing segment specifically, but we're definitely doing some different gameplay modes as you like progress throughout the game, and it sort of depends on the genre and like for what's exactly happening. And but yeah, we definitely wanted to push like some 3D stuff in there, some 2D, and that sort of thing. I can't go into a ton of specifics on it because we're not allowed to talk about any of the other genres yet, but yeah, that's what I can say.
I saw one segment that looked suspiciously like Gunstar Heroes, and those are magic words to me. So.
Yeah, definitely, we played a lot of Gunstar Heroes in the beginning of the project, also looked at like Contra and all the other sort of side screw. I think that side shooter is definitely a major influence on a lot of the games. So we wanted to really reference like those old 2D games to see like how they were doing things and trying to base our gameplay off of that, what was working.
And going back to another game real quick, Explosion Man. Great game, and it had a really good level design based on, you know, the puzzles you had to do and everything. But
that was almost one of our 360 games of the year.
It was, yeah. now the actual assets of all the levels, they kind of looked identical with that, you know, that mad scientist lab and everything. Now, in Comic Jumper, will it offer a little more variety in terms of the assets inside the level?
Yeah, totally. That was, you know, we're a really small company. We're only, I think, 12 people right now, and that's we've grown.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't have a level artist back then, but we have an awesome level artist now named Marshall Womack, and he's doing he's severely overworked because each of our levels has like very distinct levels that fit in with like the genre that we're working with, and so it's actually, I think we kind of screwed our art department on this project because we're like, yeah, it'll be great, you know, every single level. Like, totally different art style and things.
You sons of bitches. What are you doing to me? God.
But luckily now they're too tired to fight back or complain. Yeah.
Now, post-release, after the game, are you guys going to be looking into DLC for Comic Jumper? Even it being an arcade title.
Yeah, I don't think we have exact plans on what we're going to do yet for that. I know DLC for Comic Jumper would be pretty difficult because of just how massive change we have to do every time we introduce a new comic style and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It all sort of depends. I mean, like, since we are so small, it's like we run, we take like a little break after the game's done because everyone's exhausted, and then it's like we're running on the next game. Let's see what we're going to do. And so sure. Have to sort of like figure out between, like, do we want to work on that? Do we want to try and get DLC out for other games and things like that? So it can be a hard balancing act.
I got a question. I'm not sure if it's on the list, but like, side-scrolling shooters are, original ones anyway, are kind of rare, and you see people like Capcom releasing Mega Man 9 and 10, but making them ridiculously hard, and Explosion Man does have a ramp up of difficulty, especially when you reach level 3. It kind of like gets a little bit tougher than the previous worlds. Now, is this a game that's going to be accessible to the majority of like the casual market out there, or are you guys aiming for more of like the hardcore side-scrolling players?
I think this one is going to be definitely a lot more casual than Explosion Man was. Like, Explosion Man just was sort of like founded on, we're like, yeah, we want to like embrace the super difficult side scrollers that don't really happen that much anymore. But this one, I think we're really focusing on like the humor on the game and like the different sort of experiences. So I think we're going to shoot for, we still want challenge, obviously, but
I don't think
it's like the throw your controller.
It's funny that you said that, Sean, because I was actually reading between the lines of what Jeff was saying, and I heard his controller was fine, but he wanted Twisted Pixel to reimburse his window. Because the controller is fine, right, Jeff? Like, the controller is good.
Oh, the controller is fine.
Oh,
but,
cool, yeah, cool.
World 3.9 is a little bit of a bitch. Same. Or 4.9.
I over and I was like, oh, guys, you got to see the end of this game.
Yeah. I've heard nothing. Like, I have not watched the video on YouTube yet for the ending of that game, and I will not until I get through the entire thing. So I want to see that.
I failed a bunch at it, and they just really bored and wanted to go home. And I'm like, no, you have to see this. Hold on. I can do it.
And I refuse to hit that go down to easy mode or whatever that they kind of make fun of you at when you die like 15 times. I'm like, no, not going to do it.
No, that's my favorite part, like forcing people to wear a tutu.
I'm happy to say I haven't seen that yet. Yet. At least not in the game.
I love my tutu.
Going with the music, because music, especially in Explosion Man, is something that that you guys have really, really put a lot of stock into. The donut song. I mean, that's probably one of the best songs in a video game to date. I mean, it's hilarious. It's right in the middle, and it's completely different, and it works. And with the songs, like that, a lot of them are coming to the Rock Band Network. Can we expect to see some songs from Comic Jumper or even the Maw making their way to the Rock Band Network as well?
Yeah, I definitely hope so. That's sort of like a side project that Chainsaw is the guy who wrote the songs, and then Mike Henry's one of our programmers who's really into Rock Band, so the two of them were like working together to get the songs out there. I think it'd be great. And I think it all just sort of depends on our time. It's probably not going to happen immediately as we sort of recover, but I think that's definitely it's a lot of fun to do, so it's something cool.
Are you bringing Chainsaw back for Comic Jumper?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's amazing.
How much of a factor has Microsoft been in the success of the Twisted Pixel games? A lot of games get lost in a shuffle, but Twisted Pixel seems to be pushed a lot by Microsoft by featuring them in their Summer of Arcade and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, they've been super awesome for us. I think we, I guess they've sort of given us the chance. Like, we make the game and we show it to them, and we sort of have tried to time up our games so that we could get into Summer of Arcade in the past. It's not like a sort of, hey, you guys are guaranteed a slot or you're gonna do it or anything like that, but like I think they've been really receptive to us, and like I don't know, it's been really cool that we can just kind of make something that we're like, okay, this is what we have and we think it's gonna be really cool. And they've been like, yeah, we really like it, and so they put it up and they've gotten attention and stuff like that, and so I mean that feels great.
So Captain Smiley expected in Summer of Arcade 2010?
I think nothing's locked down yet. So it'd certainly be awesome, but I think we sort of have to prove our chops and spend a lot more nights.
All
right. Was the Xbox Live Arcade like an easy avenue to traverse? I mean, you know, because you've got other options. You've got retail, of course, and then you've got PSN and maybe even WiiWare. You know, what sold you guys on Xbox Live?
Originally it was just that they greenlit our first project, and then so we decided to go with them. We were looking at WiiWare originally, and then it was just kind of pitching to everyone, and then they kind of gave us our shot. And also, I mean, XBLA is great just because it's so well established. You know, it's a lot bigger market than the other ones,
right.
So it it's something we've been really happy with.
But, you know, are retail games in the possible future of Twisted Pixel?
Or even, you know, on PSN or WiiWare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or anything, yeah.
I think, I mean, just because of the size of our teams, it's hard to get together a whole port to different things, or different different things, like PSN and stuff like that. But I think it's definitely been talked about in the past. I mean, we did bring the Maw to PC,
mm-hmm.
And so it's something, you know, we obviously want to hit all the markets that we can with the stuff we've done. It's just a question of the technology and stuff like that.
Now, you guys are obviously really, really good at making these side-scrolling games. Did you ever think about trying to do a remake in the same vein as, like, a Bionic Commando Rearmed? I think our Canadian buddy Jeff would like to see a Strider.
Yeah.
Rearmed.
Yeah. I think we would too. I mean, like it's always hard with those kind of things because the great titles in the past, like if you do it, then you kind of fall into that whole publisher trap that we made the company to get rid of.
Exactly,
at this point,
Capcom's not that big. Come on, you can push them around.
Yeah, hey, we're Twisted Pixel. Okay, you should tell us.
Yeah, exactly. Back up.
Have you played them all? I mean, come on.
I got Shane Kim's email. You want it? I think it's in my...
But I mean, definitely love those games, and so we might steal their gameplay or something.
Well, I'm totally allowed. Content with your original IPs, so I would say stick with that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Now we have switching gears. We have quite a few listeners that I mean they love video games so much and would love to get into the industry. Sean, how did you personally get started?
Well, for me, back in the dawn of time when I was going to college, they didn't have any game schools and stuff like that. So I just double majored in English and computer science because I thought that would sort of do game-like things. And then I got hired on with the other company that I used to work at, and basically went through there as like a very poorly paid intern type until I, gradually worked my way up through the ranks and stuff like that.
Another question, sticking with the 360 and Xbox Live, what do you personally think about the XNA program for the 360? Do you think it's a realistic spot for starting developers, for focusing on their first time making games, or, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think... it's kind of like I forgot who the author was, but they were like, someone asked him how do you become an author, and they're like, you have to write, and it's like all the things that it's like you make your plans and you do things and you don't actually do it. So I think that program is like good, even if it's like it doesn't make you the millions of dollars and you go and like it's your basis. Like the process of like having to make a game and go through and do that, like that counts for so much because it's like pushing yourself through that experience, I think is really, really important. Like, I guess even just in general, that's just something for people wanting to get into the industry. Like, not all of it is very glamorous, you know, and there's a lot of, like, hard work that has to go into it and, like, sort of self-policing. Like, I got into the StarCraft beta, but I haven't really been able to play more than, like, a couple hours of it.
Yeah.
And it's killing me, because I, like, keep looking over, and I'm like, man, that'd be...
right there.
Damn it, yeah. I gotta tweak the graphics on level 2 again.
Oh. Yeah, like, we gotta, you know, we have to ship, and so we have to do work. And so, I think, you know, when I interview people, it's not even so much like, oh, do you have, like, the greatest idea for a new game? Like, that's sort of secondary to, like, can you execute? Are you able to, like, force yourself to work even when you don't want to work? You know, and, like, are you able to see a project through to completion? And so for that reason, I would say, like, even if you were just doing a project on XNA and then trying to use that as, like, a resume to go into a different company, like...
Mm-hmm.
Can go through and actually complete a project like that, that says a lot about, like, who you are and how dedicated you are.
So what you're saying is all the people making farting applications for XNA have a shot, they have a shot at making it big time.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's basically the top of our list.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
How do you feel about flatulence?
Or a love massager.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You wrote that? My girlfriend and I love that. Oh, you're hired.
It, yeah. Well, of all these, you know, Xbox Live arcade games that are coming out, now aside from Comic Jumper, because we know that's, like, you know, the big one, but what other, you know, are there any other games that are coming out that you're kind of, you know, excited about? I mean, they are the competition. You're probably going to want to check them out, you know, see what they have to hand.
They're all terrible. All terrible.
Absolutely. All crap. Good answer. Good answer.
Buy a flatulence maker instead.
I think, like, Deathspank looked kind of intriguing, right. And I thought Shank had, like, a really cool art style. Mm-hmm. I think the Behemoth guys aren't coming out with theirs for a while yet, right? Or is it?
Yeah, that's not surprising, though. Yeah, yeah. Theirs for, like, I don't think it'll be this year.
I haven't even seen anything on it.
They haven't shown much.
Like, a little bit. I think they're doing, like, a co-op thing that looked pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
There's lots of...
I like the Valve of Xbox Live, like, mini-games, pretty much. Take a while. Just saying, just throwing it out there. I've been waiting a while, man. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I love that on Xbox Live Arcade, like, everything has a trial, and so you can just, like, check out different stuff and see. Like, I think that's really cool that they force companies to do that, because it's,
no,
like...
joke. Yeah, that's a huge plus for the platform. I agree.
All right, so, you know, last couple of questions about Comic Jumper. We kind of touched on, you know, we were kind of jokingly saying, you know, Summer of Arcade 2010, we're going to have Comic Jumper. I mean, do you guys have at least a tentative date? Like, you at least want it by 2010. I mean,
I mean, I think we want to definitely hit this year. We are
August.
We are really busy at work right now. I mean, we're working pretty much around the clock, weekends, everything, trying to finish it up. And so,
how long has the development been so far?
Man, my brain is fried. I'm not sure. I think it's been 10 months or something like
months?
That.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Okay.
Is that kind of normal for a or like a long period of time for an arcade game? Like, compared to Explosion Man and The Maw, like, development time for this one.
Yeah, I don't know, like, how good those comparisons are, because, like, The Maw we did in, like, 6 months, and like, no one slept the entire
time. Oh, wow.
And so, like, to say that was at all a reasonable schedule for what we tried to accomplish on that game is sort of silly. the same, I don't know, that's sort of something we got to figure out, is how not to destroy ourselves every project, because
we really... Kidding. No knock on Explosion Man or The Maw, but watching the videos of Cosmic Jumper, it seems like there's a pretty big leap in presentation or, like, production value, it seems. So,
yeah,
I mean,
we got some super talented people who have joined in on the team, and I think you know, that extra art oomph makes a huge difference. So
how many hours a week do you estimate you guys work? I am really curious about that. Right now, you're saying you don't want to kill yourself, so.
You know, it's like work and then go home and sleep and then get up and go back to work. I don't really
do an interview on a podcast.
Yeah,
right now.
time. I get to leave my desk for a little while. So I don't know, man. It's a lot. I don't think I've actually sat down and calculated the hours, but I mean, it feels like pretty much constantly.
It would make you cry if you actually calculated it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. I guess I feel like it's worth it because it's stuff that, it's our dream. You know, we get to make whatever we want. We're getting a chance to do, what we've always wanted to do. So how can you not sort of give it your all when you do it? So.
Yeah, this is kind of like a passion project for you guys, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think all of our projects so far have been like that, where it's like it sounds silly because Splash Man is not going to like change the world and bring world peace or anything like that. But I mean, I'm really proud of that game. It feels really cool when like we were at PAX and people come up and they're like, "Oh, I love this game. You know, I play it with my kids or play it with my wife and all this stuff." You know, it's like a when you work. You know, really, really hard on stuff in the past, and you don't get that kind of reception from people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a really cool feeling to actually be able to work on something and have people appreciate it.
So you haven't had anybody come up to say, "I love that movie license title that you guys did. It was just like the film."
Not as much.
No. That's, again, I don't know if this is on the list of questions I don't have in front of me, but, like Brass Flourish Man, people loved it. Are you guys, is sequel something you guys are looking into, or are you guys looking more and more into just making a new IP for the majority of your releases? Like, do you expect to like maybe extend the lifespan of these games, or sequels, or not at all? Are you taking like
the whole? It's always a hard call because there's, you know, we have like a ton of ideas in the queue for like different stuff that we want to do, and you know, we're kind of, I definitely would never want to turn into like the studios where it's like they made a great game, but then there's like Halo Part 3000 and stuff like that. Where
don't diss Halo. Jeff will get cranky.
For the people then it's that can be tough. But on the other hand, you know, I think there's. On every game that we make, you know, because we're trying to cram in so much and we have to, like, there's really good ideas that we have where we're like, you know what, there's no way we're going to be able to put that in. And so doing a sequel would let us, explore, like, dust off all those ideas that, like, we really wanted to get into but knew that we wouldn't have a chance to, and, like, add an extra layer of polish onto the games, which is, you know, always our number one vision point on our games is we want to have the polished experience. But I think so far, I mean, we're so ambitious that it's been hard to get the level that, you know, we really want to shoot for. So, I mean, I would say in the future, maybe we would do a sequel and just try and really pimp out a game. So we'll have to see.
Cool. Another question. Sorry, Travis, this is another one I don't think is on there, but from the videos of, Comic Jumper. Is there going to be, like, a huge variety of, like, different kind of crazy weapons and stuff in the full release?
Oh, Comic Jumper?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I can't go into, like, specifics and things like that, but I think it's not going to be, like, like 6 million different weapons and that sort of thing.
No, don't expect like Borderlands kind of thing. 87
bazillion different guns.
Pretty much. Because I think, I mean, for this game, it's a lot about like the experience and the comedy and the cinematics and that sort of things that we're really, really pushing on.
All right. As you were, Travis.
Since this is Comic Jumper, let's talk some comics a little bit. I know Jason and I, comics are near and dear to our sweet little hearts. I'm not sure about Jeff. Jeff and I, we haven't really talked about it. I don't know if you're big into it, but...
I think Jeff's picked up a Superman comic.
May have.
I might have. I was a big Image fan back in the day when that first started.
Wildcats, Jim Lee, man.
Yeah, Wildcats, dude. Yeah, Cyberforce, Spawn, all that stuff.
Now, you know, you guys at Twisted Pixel...
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to me, and I really hope that you all are kind of like big fans of the comics. Like, now is that true? Like, is this something that's kind of like
don't try to lead them one way or the other? Just ask the question and see what the initial response is.
Well, because there's so many different cool little genres. Because I even saw like there's like the you know, kind of like the Sin City genre where everything's like in black and white and everything. And I'm just curious if everybody's kind of like a fan of that, and everybody sat together and said, okay, we want this genre because I love this, I want that genre because I love that. And I wanted to see if, you know, everybody's kind of a fan. That was what I'm looking
for. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely different people have like different amounts and like the things that they like. Like some people like more of the standard superhero comics. Some people like, you know, graphic novels and that sort of thing. But I think there was definitely a lot of talk going into like which genres we would pick and like which ones we thought could be the funniest to play around with and stuff like that. So I don't know. Is that your question? Like we definitely love comics. We love games and comics and all the different things.
That wasn't the question I thought you were asking, Travis. Unless that was the lead up to the question, I think you're going to.
No, I was just asking if you guys were fans of comics. I mean, like, if everybody was fans of
comics. I think this is a very important question that all of our listeners are basically waiting with bated breath. You know the game Crackdown?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Would you classify that as a superhero game?
Is it a trick question?
No, it's not really a trick question at all.
It's an ongoing debate on our show.
It's an ongoing debate on our show.
Okay.
Whether or not
I would say it's definitely a superhero game.
Oh, come on!
Yeah!
I would go so far as to say almost like tons of games they're basically all like superhero games because it's like a chance to not be you. It's a chance to be someone you know, bigger and better that can do different things that you could never do yourself.
That's a pretty big dodge you just did there. I'm just like Crackdown, jumping over cars and buildings, throwing cars, kicking cars 50 feet into the air. Who can do that besides a superhero, right? You know, a superhero can do that, right?
Yeah.
Genetically mutated clones.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I think that is one for superheroes.
What is the argument against them being a superhero?
Jason?
This has gotten way out of control. okay, it's not a licensed, you know, comic book game, you know, and it just went from there. So I thought that Crackdown was not a superhero game, and I still stand by that because I don't get the superhero comic book feel from it.
They're just generic people.
I just get that, you know, super enhanced, like, video game, arcadey feel from it.
Because like Infamous is not like a borrowed IP. But that's a superhero game.
And it even has you know
because
like
they have superhero drawings in between missions and comic book esque cutscenes. Is that why?
See, Sean, this is what we've been doing
for
the past.
There's no difference between Crackdown and Infamous besides the comic book cutscenes in between missions. Just saying.
This is essentially our show every week. 2 hours of Crackdown discussion.
All right. Well, that's
how do you feel about spiritual successors?
No. We're done. We're done here, Jeff. Sean Riley, thank you very much for joining us tonight, man.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
And awesome.
I think I speak for all of us when I say we are like extremely pumped about Comic Jumper,
and we are genuine fans of Twisted Pixel.
Absolutely,
and both your games thus far.
That's really cool to hear.
All right, well, thank you, Sean, for that awesome interview.
You welcome back. Oh, shit. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, wrong part, dude. Wrong part. pretty safe to say we're all looking forward to Comic Jumper. I mean, we're all fans of Splosion Man and the Maw.
Very much so.
So we'll look forward to that. I'm still calling August. I think that's when it's going to come out. Somewhere like 2010.
Okay.
Not official. Just saying. Possibility. You know?
You heard it here first. Indus. Wishful thinking exactly. News release.
Sean, while you're waiting,
really
we can,
tight-lipped or like really clueless about what was going on with that game. Because he was just like extremely vague about like everything. I'm like, oh, I want details. I want to know when exactly it's coming out. Damn it.
So. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, you have a bunch of other new releases to look forward to next week tide you over. Such as, if we have an email, because, you know, I mean, we don't want to do this without the voicemail from Repeat, because, I mean, that's his thing, he does it way better than we do.
Well, who does that? Doesn't Chris do that normally?
He usually does, but Chris isn't here, so Travis, or Jason, whoever has the laptop with the voicemails, hit that play button.
You're giving away the magic here. Let's see if I got some.
Okay, so unlike last week, there's actually games coming out this week.
Stop talking about Repeat.
So, first up, we have Sam & Max Season 3, The Devil's Playhouse, Episode 1, The Penal Zone.
Penal.
Quite a title there. That's coming out for PC, Mac, I believe, and also PS3. So, yeah,
what?
That's another Telltale entry in their point-and-click adventures. Should be a good time.
PS3?
Okay, so also up on the download
I don't
front,
know if that's
true. PS3 360 is Final Fight Double Impact.
Yes!
Which is Final Fight and that. Magic Sword, sort of up-res and whatever.
No.
Kind of so-so on that. I mean, Final Fight's aged pretty badly, but eh, might be worth looking into. And it also looks like Arcade Shooter Evello has reappeared for the Wii. Although, I really don't think it'll come out. It's one of those games that get pushed back and back and sort of just disappear. But yeah, well, if you can find it, it's probably worth checking out. But yeah, other than that, not a whole lot.
There we go.
Pistol Pete.
Cool.
Direct from Ricky.
Thanks, Repeat. Is Sam and Max coming up to PSN? Because I don't know.
They haven't released on PSN yet.
Yeah, do you know that game released on the iPad first?
Yeah.
Before anything? Like, the very first release was the iPad only.
So if you want to go spend, like, $700 to buy that game, then go for it.
$500, awesome. But who's counting?
You can get good deals on it. I think I picked up the first season for, like, $20 or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Like, and they're good, as far as adventure games are concerned.
Are they? I've only played the demo of, like, one of them. The first one I was released on Xbox Live Arcade. I downloaded the trial.
All right, so pretty cool. Final Fight Double Impact or whatever?
Yep.
Re-release, essentially. They gave it the widescreen treatment. Yeah, it's got Magic Sword included as, like, a bonus or whatever. All right. I'm back and forth on this one. My heart
it's wants same to here.
Sing its, you know, grace, or praises.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can play Guy in Super Street Fighter 4.
True. But they didn't really tweak the graphics at all.
They didn't touch anything,
They gave some new HD filters, which never look very good. They always look muddy and kind of crappy and shit. But I think the big reason that fans of Capcom, and especially like online fighters, should be really concerned about is that this is the first game that is officially supporting GGPO.
Is it really?
Yeah. So and that's a really it's implemented really well. Like it's a jump in, jump out online multiplayer. So I can be playing by myself and then
jump right in there.
Exactly. So and that's exclusively licensed by Capcom USA, and we really really want to support this because we want to see GGPO.
So they haven't done that on any other game yet?
They used...
Because I thought Blaze Blue used GGPO.
No.
I could be wrong. No, not really.
Yeah, they did not.
So nothing on consoles have used it yet?
HD Remix used... Well, actually, the creator of GGPO actually served as kind of like a consultant when they were doing the netcode for HD Remix. So there's some there's some remnants of it in there. But this is the first title that uses it exclusively.
Wow.
So I will be voting with my wallet.
So you want to support that shit so they will this onto fighting games.
Guys. Yes, definitely. So
I can see that for sure. Travis, what were you going to say?
He's asleep right now, actually.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, cool. Thanks, Jimmy. Other games that he didn't mention, more of the bigger ones are Splinter Cell Conviction comes out for the Xbox 360.
Nice, speaking my language.
There we go. That looks pretty decent. Grand Theft Auto Episodes from Liberty City comes out for the PS3. That would be the expansions that were released on the Xbox
exclusively last year.
Yeah, which is a big deal
exclusive
for PS3.
No more. So that is Ballad of Gay Tony and what was the other one called?
The Lost and Damned.
This might mark the first penis in PlayStation 3 history.
It might be, actually.
It might be.
That could very well
I'm
be.
Not really keeping track, but whatever.
So, Eamon, pay attention, buddy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's all about that stuff,
the
right?
The P9.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Blood Bowl is actually hitting the PSP next week on Tuesday. Jason, how about that Blood Bowl? Did you...
$5 at Walmart on PC. $5.
Yeah, I might get that.
I'm all about that.
$5. That's awesome. $5 to say something is garbage. That's basically
Dark Elves edition. Fuck you. It's got to be good. There are multiple gameplay modes.
But that's basically it, guys. That's it for the new releases for next week. There's not too much. So if you had to pick one game, like a pick of the week, so to say, what would you guys pick? Jason.
Hey, Final Fight. And Magic Sword.
Travis.
Splinter Cell. Yeah.
I'd normally go with Splinter Cell, but in terms of what I actually will buy next week, it's going to be Final Fight and Magic Sword. That's a definite I am going to buy on Wednesday when that comes live.
Dibs on Guy.
Descendants on Gaia. Cool. Awesome. All right, so I guess we'll go. We have any listener emails this week?
Possibly.
Or Jason. Jason's taking the reins. There we go.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm just kind of, you know, in the background here.
I hear you. Well, we possibly have emails.
Possibly.
So if anyone happens to know if we do or do not, just throw it out there. We'll see who grabs it.
I'm gonna give a guess. I'm gonna start right off with Jeff's big brother.
Necro.
Big Necro is in the house again. Some would say great, some would not. But he's big, right? With Jeff. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Okay, one quick question for you guys this week. What is your opinion? What, in your opinion, is the hardest boss you've ever faced off against in a game? I'm going to say, personally, the Omega Weapon from Final Fantasy VIII.
Ooh, good one.
For those who do not know, he is an optional boss, and he is just about the hardest thing in an RPG ever. If anyone has bothered to fight him on Final Fantasy VIII, you will know what I'm talking about. I've only beat him once, though. I am going to step in and say I 100% agree. I couldn't even beat that boss. It's pretty impossible.
Is that something you have to beat right before you're going to beat the game? You grind a shitload and then go and fight him?
Yeah, it's really tough. I don't remember where it was at, to be honest with you. I just remember that the weapon in 8 was really, really hard.
I'm going to speak ignorance here, but how do you... If you don't have to fight him in the main story, how do you find him?
Like I said, I was just trying to remember how exactly you fight him. He's in there's a is it an Omega cave or something? I don't remember. I just remember it is one of the toughest ones. 12 had a really tough boss too that was optional as well. I can't even remember its name, but the way you set up your gambits and everything, you literally, you know, press the attack button, you sit the controller down, and you have to wait about 4 hours for this battle to go off with. And that was a tough one, too, but I didn't even... Honestly, I just saw YouTube videos of that. So Final Fantasy has some really tough bosses, albeit they're the optional ones. You know, Final Fantasy VII had the weapons as well, like the Ruby weapon and everything. They were pretty tough as well. But yeah, I agree with Necro. That weapon from Final Fantasy VIII was pretty tough.
Indeedy. Mine's not an actual boss, just like a regular... enemy.
Okay.
Metal Slime. Okay. Dragon Warrior.
Oh,
yeah.
From Dragon?
Fuck yeah, okay. Him. Fuck him.
Like, every hit was like
him.
One.
You can't
hit
him,
point.
Though, right? Doesn't he, you hit him a couple times and he just fucking takes off?
Fuck him.
How do you beat him?
Fuck him.
You don't know.
I have no idea.
Maybe you can't, and it's just like, you know, Enix saying.
Yeah. Why do they tease me like this? The game's broken. It's a horrible gameplay design mechanic.
I was channeling Chris right there.
Oh god, I don't even fucking know. I honestly cannot think of a boss that was really, really, because I'm a pussy. I'm not gonna lie. If I can't beat a fucking boss after a while, yeah, I either fuck the game and don't play it, or I turn it down to easy. So I really can't think of one right now. Can I say the second level of Ikaruga? I know it's not a boss, but...
the entire level.
Yeah, the entire level is a fucking bitch, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to my mind. I hate it with a passion.
A majority of the end bosses in, any fighting game. How about that? Because they're, super cheap.
Like Bison or, Seth.
Seth is extremely cheap.
Yeah, he's a motherfucker.
Yes. Yeah. I can see that.
I'm going to walk forward and flash kick you.
Oh, or you get Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat 2, which you could not beat unless you put at least 2 credits in. And it's all of a sudden it's oh, okay, now I can beat him.
Then they turn up the juice.
Yeah. Bullshit.
All right. Well, let's go on. Be Wrong says, hey, Filipino tongue twister. Naka kaka paga paga blah 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 blah. It means bothersome. On to my questions. Number one, the best video game power up.
That's a good question.
Sure. Wasn't it Final Fight where you just get that slab of meat,
the big turkey,
the big turkey leg?
That just gives you health,
and it gives you health.
Sure.
Best power up. I know. Last battle when you fucking got the power up to get fucking muscular, when it actually made the game fun. That was kind of cool. Do you guys remember that game at all?
Kind of.
No?
kind of.
It was like you were like this little dude, and you kicked shit, and all of a sudden you got something, and I just remember you got big, and you got all these really cool moves. No?
I get big all the time.
Dude, Supersonic, maybe? I don't know.
I'm going to go old school. Give me the mushroom from fucking Mario.
Why not?
Best ever, though? Best ever?
I was thinking orbs from Altered Beast.
Devil May Cry. Oh, Altered Beast. Really? Yeah, okay.
Fucking orbs, shit. Orbs from fucking Crackdown.
Why not?
Orbs from anything. Orbs has been like the universal awesome fucking power-up. Pretty much.
Weird,
God of War, Devil May Cry. Like, that's all orbs. Bayonetta.
This was well thought out.
Orbs, yeah, that definitely. Is.
Orbs.
I don't know. All around the table. I'm not satisfied with orbs. That's bullshit.
Best
that's a
power-up ever.
Orbs for the win.
Star's not going to win, where you can just kick everyone's ass in Mario. That's you're invincible,
that's
dude.
That's a cop-out. Yeah, that's a cop-out.
Dude, Mushroom's a cop-out. That's like fucking...
Okay,
that's
like a staple. You win. You win. You're
don't
fucked.
Pull
you're
that right. shit. Do not pull that weak Scott shit. Do not do that. One real answer. Right.
All right, here we go. We're going to move on from these shenanigans. Kung
Sorry
Fu Gold
wrong.
Chain.
I wanted to keep them in here, but they want to move on. Just saying.
Kung Fu Gold Chain comes in and says, well, I just saw Clash of the Titans. And I liked it. However, if you guys have not seen it, please elect the 2D version because the 3D version is more expensive and not worth it.
Yeah.
This brings me to my issue with 3D. Are people to the point now where they won't see a movie unless it's 3D? Damn it, Jim.
God, I hope not.
That pisses me off. I don't want to see a movie wasting effort because the trendy soccer mom has to have a Wii because it's the thing to do. Dildo heads out there think it's the most recent way to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the correct term, yeah.
Okay. Believe me.
Red shell.
If a movie red shell.
That shit was the bomb. That was the power up. That fucking, like, I will fuck you up. I'm talking pre-blue shell garbage. Just saying. Anyway, sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
He says, believe me, if a movie is made to be watched in 3D, I'm all over it. But I don't want to see it. I don't want it to be a requirement. Also, I don't need to hear anything else about the next generation. In my opinion, the current gen systems have gone next generation within themselves already. Think about the launch games, PS3 specifically. Then look at Uncharted 2 and God of War 3. Yeah, that's right. Lastly, stop supporting shows like Survivor and Amazing Race. These shows are the reason why badass funny TV shows like Family Guy and Arrested Development get canceled. Amen. Stop being part of the problem, people. I say let the Survivor cast go out with a real situation like The Deadliest Catch, folks, and see who wins.
Yeah, I agree with that if they were on the same night, but they're totally not. So. I'm a fan of Family Guy. I love Family Guy. And I like Survivor. Amazing Race is not
too
bad. He
does make a point, though. But you know what? It's still, though, Arrested Development would have stayed on the air if Fox would have.
No, Arrested Development wouldn't have stand a chance because they rely too much on their previous episodes. Unless you're following that from day one to the end, you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
No. Okay, so why is Lost still on TV? Why? I mean, 24 lasted 8 seasons.
Because
I mean,
Lost and Fox, Lost 24 and everything Fox does it previously promote. On whatever happens. Arrested Development never did that.
Fox was too busy promoting American Idol to promote Arrested Development. That's where all their money went, and Arrested Development got the shit kicked out of them because they kept on moving them different nights. Every single season was on a different night. And
yeah,
people got
but
confused.
That's
it, and
different
that's what
argument because the 100% shows
quality.
The shows you said
100% quality.
The shows you said are a continuation, whatever. But they have a recap beginning of every single show. What happened the show before? Arrested Development didn't have that. So if you were to watch like a random Arrested Development show, and they are based on inside jokes and jokes that happened previously in other episodes,
so is Family Guy.
Family Guy is pure pulp that's culture. Like you can watch that as standalone
but
episode.
Arrested
like, that is funny. No, it's not.
It's extremely standalone.
No, it's not, dude. Dude, you're talking about Tobias. You're saying he's a standalone when he's talking about this whole like never nude shit. 3 episodes later, after they actually did that show where he could not be nude and he has to wear his jean shorts in a shower.
Yeah, but
you're
then he takes a
that.
Picture of his balls and they think it's like the Iraqi countryside and that shit's funny.
And well, yeah, but you're not going to get that
okay,
unless you saw
get on,
the previous
get
shows.
Sean back on the phone. We're going to ask him this question now. Okay, we're going to ask him.
I think Arrested Development just... I thought it was... I love Arrested Development, but it takes things a different perspective that every other show did that was kind of continuous, where they just... Basically, if you saw it from this day, it's going to be funny. It's going to be hilarious. And people who did think it's awesome. People who bought it on DVD or rented it or whatever think it's awesome. But if you... jump in on episode 9, you're like, I don't see why this is that
funny. I don't agree. I watched
the
guy, like
the cousin living
my
in
first
the fucking
episode
attic?
Was like something from season 2, and I thought it was the funniest shit ever.
Right.
Really?
So. I think we're failing to factor in the fact that, you know, 98% of Americans are fucking morons. So, I mean, that's why they don't like intelligent comedy.
Yeah.
And they love reality shows.
We'll have to say, though, I think if Arrested Development came out maybe 4 years later, it would have succeeded
it might have
more
done better.
Because you have shows like, you know, what is it, Modern Family now is like hugely successful right now, getting a lot of viewership, and it's almost the same exact comedy. Well, not the same exact comedy, but it's kind of along the same lines. You know, they're oddly parallel in terms of, you know, the type of comedy they are. So I think Arrested Development just was before its time. But anyway, moving on to some video games with what he was saying. About us, like, this generation's kind of moved into the next generation already. I mean, I think this generation, the current gen just got better. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, I don't think it's...
That's the same for any generation, really.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
PS2 did the same thing. Learn, you know, the hardware better, they can, you know, produce more.
Yeah, the first PS2 game sucked. The first Xbox game sucked.
Right.
Like, they look like the previous generation. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of...
I will say that I think things are moving way too fast, though, because we're currently a 5-year cycle, you know, whenever, you know, the next generation comes around, and still life left, and, you know, our current stuff.
Do you think it's going to stick for a bit, though? Do you think it's moving too fast, or do you think it's going to hit a point where it's like people are kind of secure in what they're seeing in their video games, and they'll deal with it for, like, say, 2 more years, as opposed to...
They'll deal with whatever is presented to them. That's the thing, you know. And the restrictive thing is that, you know, the companies want to be the first, you know, to come out with a new, you know, console. They want to be the next, you know, next generation. And, you know, people are going to want that. But it's restrictive because, you know, they're so fucking expensive now. You know, it's going to turn off a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really, really afraid it's going to bottom out at some point.
I'm with you. It's going to... It's going to be too much money to support what they're trying to put out there and to support the platforms they're trying to put their games on, which is ridiculous. We've already seen that. How many companies have closed down this generation?
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And then you have...
We're almost getting to that point right now because we're seeing all kinds of wacky shit, you know, like Natal and shit. And, you know, they're trying new stuff, and I think people are just kind of like, settle down.
Yeah, on the other side, though, they're trying to prolong this gen, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's one of the kind of refreshing where people like Twistpixel or like Capcom are releasing games that, like, I mean, Mega Man 10 and 9 sold pretty damn well. It's an 8-bit game.
Right.
Like, people are getting to the point where, like, hey, games look realistic. We understand that. Everything looks kind of cool. But everything's kind of been the same for a while. We want to kind of go back to something that is new, that isn't really new, but it feels new to us, which I think is kind of refreshing. And if they keep moving forward, I don't know if that's going to happen. And it's going to get too expensive, and people are going to go right down to the Wii, where it's basically, party games. Or
honestly, that is why I'm loving my Wii right now, because I'm playing all these like classic games and shit, and I'm loving it. I'm having a great time.
Because they're games you haven't played for a long time.
Yeah.
But like, how many Wii games have you played, though?
How many what?
Like, Wii games have you played? Like, actual Wii, like, designed for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, not many. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Excitebike was, you know, brand new. And
yeah, that's true, yeah.
Like, Blaster Master, I got that, too. And
is that actually good? I heard, like, kind of...
No. I was a little disappointed in that. But it's still fun, though. And it's a new take on, like, an old... But it's a new game.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Anywho.
I hear you.
Cool. I'm actually going to, since we have a little time on our hands, I'm going to reach into our mailbag. Some, you know, emails we haven't gotten to in the past few episodes. Cameron Shushtar sent one into us. a few weeks back saying, hey guys, Raider here. I loved your last podcast, especially the BioShock 2 spoilers, if that shows you how far back we're going.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
drunk.
Dude, that was great. You gotta go back and listen to that.
I listened to that the other day, and I listened to the beginning of the show. I'm like, I sound fine. And I went to the spoiler BioShock episode. I'm like, holy shit.
You sound almost as bad as me toward the end of the Mass Effect special.
Oh, my
we're about you know, comparable to each other. He says, I have both BioShock games for the PS3. In both times, I have loved the stories and always got the best endings out of it, or the best good endings. You guys will be happy to know that this game is actually my game of the year so far.
Wow.
I see very few titles coming close to this game for some weird reason. I don't know why, but these games have had the most satisfying endings for me, and I just wanted to say that. Sent for my iPod.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah, it is a good game. But you know, when you're in, you know, in the crowd of Mass Effect and then other games that are coming
out. Well, he only has a PS3, so he's not going to play Mass Effect. He doesn't know what Mass Effect 2 is.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah. But I can see that. I mean, like
hey, there's always Red Dead Redemption. Whatever. Street Fighter.
I didn't beat the first one. I beat the second one, and I don't know, Jason, did you beat either of them?
Yeah, I beat the first one, but I haven't even touched the second one at all.
Yeah, I can't say I agree with the game of the year. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was okay. I think it was a minor distraction with my review on the site. So
yeah, he might really like the atmosphere though, and like the way the story's told or something like that. Or I can see it.
I respect that.
Okay,
yeah, I can respect where he's going for, but
I've been holding this one.
Holy shit, it's a long one.
It's a long one, but it's all quality.
Okay.
All quality.
I'm ready.
All right, you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
This is from...
I'm going to get a drink.
Mike...
I can still hear you.
This is from Mike Florida 25. You like this guy, Jeff, right? I mean, you
yeah, mentioned
him. You like, he's one of our buddies. He says, hello, Indus.
Hi.
I'm probably going to get verbally dumped on by Chris and Jeff, but I'm going to stand by my guy Travis.
Oh, I know where this is going to go.
And Jason here.
Back.
By saying, I do not believe Crackdown is a superhero game.
It's really not. I mean,
okay.
He has great points here.
Listen to his points.
And no interruptions, Jeff. Let's wait for the. This is
I'm not interrupting. I'm saying let's hear his points.
Superheroes and villains come in many flavors and types. Superman can jump really high and throw cars and stuff, so I can see where someone might equate that to Crackdown.
He can fly.
Spider-Man can roam cities at super speeds with his epic webs. In Crackdown, there is a lot of free roaming that is very, very similar. However, the Punisher the Punisher is also a superhero. And the only power he has is his expertise with guns. So to use the logic of Chris and that means every shooter where you're killing bad guys is also a superhero game.
Oh, wait, hold on. Stop right there.
We said
stop right there, Travis.
We said no interruptions.
I know.
No, I'm going to interrupt because this is important. We never said, okay, that is a normal person with guns shooting people. In Crackdown, you can jump over buildings. You can lift up cars. You can kick cars 100 feet fucking in front of you. You can climb skyscrapers. You can do ridiculous stuff. That's not a normal person shooting guns. Travis, as you were.
Okay, point taken. Iron Man doesn't have any powers. He's just really wrist genius, and he made himself a power suit that can fly and enhance his strength with wrist rockets. So again, to use Chris and Jeff's explanation, that means any game that has that kind of power armor, most obvious is Halo, is also a superhero game.
Whoa, stop.
This is a long email. Let me finish it. Batman has no powers,
but
he is crazy with his hand-to-hand combat and his tech gadgets. By comparison, Sam Fisher and Solid Snake would also be considered superheroes. On the reverse.
No, not even close. No, sorry. Sorry, Travis, seriously, stop.
Oh, God.
This is getting... The point that he says, do not... He says, do not interrupt when he says this stuff. This is ridiculous. First of all, Master Chief... Okay, you're comparing him to Iron Man? Master Chief cannot fly. And he could jump high, like 30 feet in the air. That's about the only thing he might have in common with Iron Man. Maybe. Other than that, he's holding a gun and he has armor. I'm just saying.
Okay, on the reverse, take
and example. Sorry, Sam Fisher? I don't understand. Go, so rewind take, a bit. How is Sam Fisher a superhero?
Comparable to Batman, who has no powers, but he's crazy with his hand-to-hand combat and his tech gadgets.
Right.
Okay, but like on,
you, okay, but that's okay.
On, right. On the reverse, take the example of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. This game is a superhero game 100%, but the game itself is just a run-of-the-mill beat-em-up where you press the attack button over and over and over again, maybe once in a while, and use a special move. It really doesn't bear much resemblance to the superheroes that are in it, but everyone would agree that it is a superhero game.
Well, because you're using everyone's superhero powers in that game. You're Wolverine, you're controlling superheroes, you're controlling Wolverine who can heal. If you're, I'm trying to think of like, this is retarded. Why can't I separate DC from Marvel right now? This is ridiculous. Like, who's in Marvel Ultimate Alliance? Come on, Jason, help me out. Gambit, you're charging up cards.
You get no help here, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gambit, you're charging up cards, you're throwing the cards at people. No normal person could charge up cards and throw them at people.
True.
Not gonna happen. Iron Man, who is a superhero in regards to Jason's
fucking characters in a shit ton of games that have like, you know, special powers that are not considered superheroes, right?
No, I'm just saying.
And you're trying to lump in people that can do extraordinary abilities into a superhero.
He brought up Iron Man saying that he's this guy in a suit.
Right.
And he draw the comparison of, like, if you're going to call Iron Man a superhero, then you have to draw someone like Master Chief a superhero.
Right.
No. Yeah. So no, then,
dude, based on the logic that you and Chris have both presented.
Okay. Which is what?
The people with extraordinary abilities all of a sudden are... Chris made the
Is Iron Man a superhero?
Yes. He is.
Why isn't the guy from Crackdown a superhero?
Because he's not in a fucking comic book.
Who cares?
I do. That's the classification, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, Master Chief is in a comic book. Does that make him a superhero?
No.
But he's in a comic book.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He is, though. There's comic books on Halo. Mm-hmm. So why is he not a superhero? I wouldn't call him a superhero, but why based on your logic, why is he not a superhero?
This is probably the stupidest.
It is totally dumb, but it's totally contradicting what you just said. He's in a comic book. He can jump really high. He's got crazy martial art things. He can shoot a gun ridiculously accurate. And why is he not a superhero?
Because he doesn't have a fucking cape.
How about that?
So throw a cape on the guy with Crackdown. He's a superhero.
Sure.
Iron Man doesn't have a cape.
Okay, finishing up real quick. Lastly, we have Infamous. It's a superhero game, and it is very similar to Crackdown, so why would I consider Infamous a superhero game and not Crackdown?
Because of cutscenes. The reason is that
you're still interrupting. Oh my god. The reason is that developers explicitly said, as does the game, that Cole is a superhero or a supervillain. This argument can go back and forth, but when it comes down to it, the only way to declare a game a superhero game is based on the identity of the characters, not their powers or lack thereof. I get it that the guy in Crackdown.
So if the developer says the guy from Crackdown is similar a superhero, to the other
superheroes. But unlike Cole or Wolverine or Batman, he was not created with a label of a superhero. I know it's a really simple and obvious answer. I wouldn't even consider comic books as proof of being a superhero because games like Mass Effect and Halo have comics. Sure, Master Chief and Commander Shepard are quote-unquote heroes, but they are not superheroes. Anyway, my intention is not to insult Chris or Jeff on their beliefs. I'm a firm believer that everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I merely wanted to present a case for those of us who believe that Crackdown is not a superhero game. Also, it was painful to listen to Travis get gangbanged by the other two hosts when the topic came up. Thanks for reading the email. Keep up the great work. From Mike425 on VG Evo. But anyway, the point that he made, though, it was really, really good. And I can see how this can go back and forth, and people are going to have their opinions on it. But the fact that he said that it's not based on the powers, but the identity of the characters...
Bullshit.
Make them
That's exactly
superhero.
Where I'm
There is no about. Identity with those cops. They even say it. They are just mindless. No.
He said specifically the developers came out and said Cole is a superhero. So because the developer said he is a superhero, that makes it a superhero game, whereas, you know what? Go back and watch previews of Crackdown. And what they said about the character, you're basically playing a superhero in a city of, like, unjust fucking ridiculousness.
But they never gave him that feeling, though.
Like they never.
It doesn't matter. No, 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 no. I'm talking about the. I'm talking about Mike.
Bottom.
FL whatever.
We're coming from two different.
No, 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 no. I'm talking about the email itself, dude. No, Jason, hold on. I'm talking about the email itself that he just said. He basically drew a line saying, Cole in Infamous is a superhero because the developers said he was a superhero.
Yes.
If that is the case, Crackdown is a superhero game because they said you're playing a superhero in a fucking city that is being ridiculously attacked, but whatever. Go watch previews. So in that scenario, they're both superhero games. But that's
you win, Jeff.
You
that
win.
Is,
you win.
Don't be okay. Yes, I win. Woo! Superhero game.
We're coming from two different angles here. You're taking it in the very literal.
I'm taking it from the email.
Please shut the fuck up.
I'm going to. Okay, let's hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
You're taking it in a very literal fashion that, you know, you're judging it by just their abilities or something like that. Where we're coming from is that, you know, it's a license thing. It's a licensing thing.
Well, like,
it's a presentation kind of thing. Like superheroes, yeah. When you think of superheroes, man, you think of Superman, you think of Batman, you know,
they have personality and
right, you know, there's storyline, you know, the whole comic book presentation thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, like Chris brought up the point before that Super Mario is a superhero, and you know,
that doesn't sit well
with me. But I mean, you know,
that doesn't sit well with me either.
Based on the logic that you guys are throwing at us, just because of their abilities, that they're superheroes, or something like that. You know, that doesn't jive well. That's not where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going by the emailer, Mike. I'm saying what he said holds for both sides of the story.
Exactly. And the reason are both sides of the story, what I think that he...
And Sean Raleigh.
You know, and I think Jason and I can agree. Yeah. The guys in Crackdown, they have the superhero-esque abilities. They have the abilities there.
So basically, they have to write a comic and have a storyline.
No, they don't
have
the other
half
of the equation that makes them what we love about comic superheroes.
We're not talking comics, we're talking video games.
That's what I'm saying. That's where we're coming from. That's where we're coming from. When we say superheroes...
So basically, what they have to do is write a fucking comic book about Crackdown. Have an actual set villain. And have a storyline. Then it makes all of a sudden...
In Crackdown, if they gave us one... Just one character, or just maybe two or three characters, and they actually gave them personality, and just a little bit of a backstory... I could kind of see.
So superpowers have nothing to do with it.
Not necessarily. Seriously, I mean Batman. Yeah. Doesn't have any superpowers, but I would consider him a superhero.
But he has the personality.
But
yeah.
There will be people who will argue that because I mean I'm not a big comic book guy, but there's people who will say, well, Batman's not a superhero. He's just a regular dude with gadgets. And whatever.
I've seen that argument many times.
But I will say like no, he is a superhero. I will say that for sure. I'm saying in a video game context of what you're actually doing, what you can, that would be like a superhero game. Like, it would be like, dude,
this
you're jumping
fucking retarded
50 feet in the air.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and just leave it as it is. We have our separate opinions.
I think Sonic is my favorite superhero.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what, Alex Kidd, fuck you guys. Alex Kidd blows those guys a fucking win. He's got a big fist.
Okay, well, Jeff, before I move on, I guess on behalf of me and Jason, we will say apology accepted. We accept your apology.
No, moving on. You're wrong. Yo, Sean Riley totally agreed. He's like, right away, yeah, it's considered as a superhero game. Booyah.
It depends on, you know, where you're coming from.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
If you want to take it literally... Sure, go for it.
But, hey, Jason.
It's cool to be wrong. Sorry.
Got you.
Yeah, it's cool to be wrong. Whatever.
Is it?
Not maybe.
All right, Jeff, take it away, buddy.
I love you, buddy.
Where the fuck are we? Dude, that was it? That was all for emails?
That was the emails.
Do I have any voicemails?
I think we might actually have one.
Alright guys, Aces High here. I wanted to make a comment about last week's show, how Sheena was talking about reviewers bashing Darksiders for not being innovative or it being more the same. I can see their argument because Darksiders was a new IP and that gives you room to be innovative and stuff like that. But like with other games that are sequels, like take God of War 2 for example. If, you know, Sony Santa Monica spent the whole game, the first one, Like, it's all the Blades of Chaos, right? Long range attacks, really fast. It looks good. But if they went with number two and just, like, completely threw it out for, like, a really crap sword that had no range and stuff like that, you would alienate your existing fan base so far that you wouldn't get a return. Like, I don't know. I guess that's just my thoughts on it.
Well, there we go. Thank you.
I got kind of lost.
Wow, God of War, not a superhero game. Jeff, rebuttal. Give it to us.
That wasn't where he was going at all.
Oh, it's not?
Anywho, no.
You know what I wish they would do in the next God of War? I'm not sure there's going to be one. Is I want all of my weapons to be chain weapons. Oh, wait. That's
well, it was pretty close to that.
Three. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Pretty close to that. Just you're just a hater, though. It's cool. You know, God of War is popular. Final Fantasy 13 isn't. Love Final Fantasy 13. Hate God of War 3. We understand, Jason.
Oh, I absolutely hate God of War.
I know you don't hate it. I know you like it.
That's why I
wish I just
wanted to come back on the show, but they won't let me.
I think you're still bitter about Uncharted, actually, to be honest.
Fuck you guys.
I got lost there, sorry. It was the whole Darksiders thing, innovation.
Yeah, they were talking about, you know, Darksiders was getting penalized because of, you know, review scores were getting penalized because they were saying there was no innovation within the actual, like, fighting mechanics and, like, the gameplay mechanics, whereas, you know, games like God of War is not getting penalized because it generally is the same combat system, which it is. They do kind of tweak it a little bit with different weapons and, you know, a little tweaks to the combo system and everything, but it is generally the same thing.
But and that's also a sequel to the game that they made, whereas Darksiders is a game that is emulating something that is made by somebody totally different.
Right. And I kind of agree with you, Jeff. Like
I don't think it's a valid comparison at all. That's like saying like Halo 2 got a pass because it was a lot like Halo 1, but it didn't do the same shit that Call of Duty 4 did.
I don't give a shit what the fuck they copy as long as it's fun.
Yeah,
that's basically what we said when it comes down to is. Well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to answer the question statement, so to speak, I guess. I don't know.
It was more of a statement, I think.
Yeah. I agree, but disagree. I agree where he's saying, like, some sequels get off being, like, be more of the same, and they get, like, a pass. Mm-hmm. Whereas a game that copies something, does the same thing, gets demoted for it. I can see that for sure, and that's what we talked about last week, I thought, which is what he's commenting on, which I can't remember exactly what Chris said, but it's like, I agree. Props.
We love you, Aces. We're going to get you a new intro, so you can send us more questions.
It won't Jason. Be 311.
It won't be 311.
Jason. Yeah. Jason.
What?
Rose is a bitch.
What?
Rose is a bitch.
Rose makes you her bitch.
True story.
That is his lady love, not Dis Rose. Anyway.
Why are you trying to fight me, Jeff?
Because I'm going to kick your ass after this.
We're doing some Street Fighter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah! I'm not going to win.
You play me, buddy. Fight the green beast. All right, that's it for us. Question of the week?
All right, go ahead. So, question of the week. We talked about it just like right now. God of War 3, huge amongst us, like Travis, myself, Jason, and Chris, all completed the game.
I beat the shit out of it.
You totally beat the shit out of it. Hopefully, we're going to have a review up, I won't say soon, but in the future. We'll see what goes on. But does go up next week. What are your thoughts? Wait, God of War 3, did it live up to the hype? Was it what you expected? Was it underwhelming, overwhelming, whatnot? Just give us your opinions, because Travis, Chris, and myself are going to discuss what we thought about the game, and we're just going to, you know, have a little bit of a roundtable of God of War 3.
Well, so, if Chris isn't, like, busy with a baby.
If he's busy with a baby,
then we get Jason.
Jason, you're allowed to come on and trash the shit out of it as much as you want. But yeah, is there any thoughts or whatever? Don't make it too long. Don't give us a like an A to fucking Z
how you played the game, because that's just boring. Come on, let's go. Like, whatever.
Please I'm keep drunk. The word epic minimized to at least like yeah. just two. Okay, don't go just, over
there's
that.
Only there's only two parts in that game that deserve epic. And I will say that. Only two.
But we will accept actually, maybe, multiple amazing.
No, I'll say one yes. and a half, actually. But, yeah, send in your thoughts. God of War 3. Send them in. Do that it is. Question of the all week. Right. Next week. 1,000. 1,000. 125. There we go. Wow, I'm skipping to the future. I'm 54. Sorry. That's it. Oh, am I supposed to say something?
Finish the fucking show.
I'm new with this, dude, and I'm drinking a little bit. All right, cool. So that basically sums up the show for this week. Jason, do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to pimp? Nothing? Like maybe a little bit of a Scrubsport, maybe?
Scrubsport is doing well. Scrubsport.com.
It's a website.
It's a website.
It's doing awesome. And for people who are listening, because last year we did it totally different. You basically had to sign up. You signed up once, basically that was it. It was closed off. You played it up. How's it going this year? It's basically
it's monthly? Broken up into, well, it depends on we offer two different types. There's you know, the round robin stuff, which is, you know, what we did last year, but that's broken up month by month. The Randbats, which is like a weekly double elimination tournament, is broken up into seasons, so we've got 3 month intervals. So we've gone through 1 month already of the Randbats. So yeah, super high amounts of fun if you're
in. And the month-to-month, people can join any month, but they have to be put on the bottom tier and they have to work their way up, right?
They got to work their way up the ladder, yeah. On the PS3 side, I think there's, what, four or five different tiers.
Oh, it's so. Like four or five tiers right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you join, you're
going plan.
Yeah. There's not too many people on the Randbat side, so if you want to get in on that, that's kind of like a Street Fighter night. We do it every Friday, you know, at a certain time. So, and we're still looking for more people to fill out the roster.
Cool.
Yeah. I'd totally be there if I could dedicate Friday nights, but it's tough.
It's tough. It's weird because that's like the night that everybody wanted. And then
I know. People dropped. I know. And like, this is really bad for me because it's Friday. I'll be there tomorrow, but I'm not part of it.
It's tough. It's tough.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Travis, do you have anything else to say? Like send off, whatever, anything, whatever? Nothing?
Mm-mm. Daddy's right, cool. Tired.
He looks tired.
This is the part where I tried to stretch out and be like, well, you can reach us at...
What do I say? What does Chris do every week? Oh, this is
weird. Let's help him out. Let's see. We got a Facebook group that we don't update.
We got a Facebook group with Travis.
We have,
go ahead.
Twitter.
Yes.
We have Twitter at Indus Podcast.
Which that's we never update.
At Indus Podcast. That is barely ever... Yeah, because you can follow us. Because honestly, to tell you the truth, if you want a more personal perspective of what we're thinking, you can follow us individually at Indus Travis, Indus Jason, Indus Chris, and Indus Jeff.
That's Geoff.
Nice. You can follow us there. If you want to email us, you can hit us at email@interactivedistractions.com. If you want to hit us up with a voicemail or any kind of like MP3 or something like that, you can hit us at... Take it away, Jason.
Son of a bitch. You think I know this?
I don't know.
Smooth transition.
Refer back to episode 123.
Is it on our site? I don't know.
It's been changed like three times. That's why.
I chose the number. I don't fucking know.
Okay, well, if you don't know, that's cool. You can just check it out.
No,
at VGEvo.com.
Here it is. But
we got this.
Very bottom.
706-760-4337.
Oh, it's almost late. But it's not. Oh, epic.
Awesome.
I'm keeping it in.
Cool. We still have our... contest going on right now. Rate a game in 5 words.
And guys, man, you guys have like given us
if
so can, much.
There's been some good stuff put out there. If you can get that shit in, that would be freaking awesome. You're going to win a $20 gift card to Amazon. Send it in to, again, at email at interactivedistractions.com or at any other... Or you can actually even Twitter that. It doesn't really matter where it goes. It's going to go in the same place. Send that shit in. It's going to be awesome. There's been some good submissions. I am drunk.
All right, guys. Play your games.
All right, guys. See seriously, I gotta call this a night. All right, play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Later, guys.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, shit. And I'm... What is it? What was it? Where... I am Jeff.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Travis.
Play your games. And see you tomorrow.
Submit some stuff.
Oh, I feel sorry for the person that this is their first episode. Chris, hurry back, please.